legs. 11 lads, 12 man podcast, we're all wearing shorts.
Yep.
It's that time of the year, that's the summer's hit. Beautiful weather, we're all wearing shorts. But it also means the end of the season, which is unfortunate. Don't worry, Declan Maron's here.
Hi-o.
And Ruth Hoban's here for the end of the season. But it's the end of the season podcast, I suppose.
Struggle for the word podcast, and it's in the title of yep. what we are.
The 12th Man Podcast, the 12th Man Podcast at hotmail.com is the email address, and at 12th Man Podcast on the Twitter. If you want to get in touch, do, because we'd love to hear from you over the summer.
Don't forget the Facebook page where it's all happening.
Don't forget the Facebook page as well as the 12th Man Podcast. Just Google it, get onto the Facebook page. What's going on there at the moment is strange.
Yes,
there's a enlightening.
Dante, FC Bayern Munich, Dante, singing a song, Und Pokal Auch, which is a rendition of their of basically a roundup of the three trophies they've won this year. Und Pokal Auch is the
in
German.
In case you forgot, like.
Yeah, it's the German for and German Cup too. Also, yeah. There's that, a little rendition of him filming himself singing that. There's we asked you guys about a week ago, could be more, your goal of the season, a few things like that. So this is going to be covered in this podcast by us, but sure, chip in with a few more if you have them. We'd love to hear. And Michael Owen's car is still there, covered in flour and eggs and stuff like that. So go back and have a look at that if you fancy.
But Michael Owen's not still there.
No, he's not.
No.
I heard.
But his car would live on.
His car in the and memories. His face on your cup will live on.
Yes, I do have that. Well, actually, it won't. It's fading out really fast.
Rapidly.
Dishwasher's destroying it. I heard Jason McAteer talk today, actually, on the radio about. Yeah, exactly. That very man. talk about if Michael Owen was to ever try and play in the Legends, you know, the Masters on Sky Sports. It would actually have to go to a meeting before he could, because, you know, he played in Carragher's testimonial and he was booed by Liverpool fans for joining Manchester United. Oh. So if he wanted to play in the Masters, it would have to go to like a panel, the people at the top of the Masters.
This
thing
seems like, you know, something really trivial and nobody cares about.
Yeah.
It's like, the Masters is a bit of fun, you know.
Yeah, but would you take, I don't know,
Henry,
Van Persie in 10 years?
I mean, look, we're not winning trophies now. The Masters team is
just said you don't care about it.
The women's team aren't even doing that well at the moment either.
Anyway, sorry, I derailed the show with my Michael Owen antics.
We were talking about how you doing.
Hello.
Michael Owen antics.
Henry
Clark's antics.
I have no, I don't know what he's up to.
You kind of met Neil Lennon today, Roo.
Kind of, yeah. I saw him. I didn't really meet him. I have met him before, but I saw him from a distance, and he was there, and I was there in a kind of the same vicinity, and that's about the extent of what happened there. It's no singing, "Oh, the Rangers are shite."
You should
as much as I wanted to.
He'd have joined in straight away.
Oh, absolutely!
Little dance and all on him.
Yeah.
It's confirmed you met him in a shopping center.
I did.
Yeah.
But he wasn't doing his shopping in Ireland.
No, that would be weird.
He was here to announce the Liverpool Celtic game in Dublin.
Yeah, the Dublin decider, which I don't know what the hell it's going to decide.
I don't know who people support.
Who rules the city? Like
me versus you, Roo.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah,
we'll have a special 2 hour long podcast. 2 hours isn't even much. Rules is a 4 hour long podcast on that one. Right, look, lads, season's over, as I said. So what I'm going to ask you now is it's very important. It's crucial, and it's going to build towards next season. I'm going to ask you. If you could make one change to football for next season, anything in the realm of football, what would it be and why, obviously?
Who do you want to start that? I'll kick
it
off.
Well, I'm going to give it to you, Declan. It's tradition.
It's tradition.
That's
the way
it goes, usually.
Well,
I'm
going
to go to Ruth Holland for
okay, well, here's what I'd do, all right? I've enjoyed football. I think the quality of the Premier League this year has gone down a bit. I would like to see people, you know, I'd like to see the ante upped a little, because Man United ran away with the league very early on. So, from now on, I would like every match... Well, my original idea was... You saw the Champions League final, guys? You saw?
Yes.
Well, at the start of that, there was, like, a warrior battle. So, and what they used to do back in, like, the movie Troy... was they'd send out their best warriors to battle each other.
What about if you're talking about the movie Tron?
No. I haven't... I will not watch that. No, they'd send out their best warriors to battle to the death. Now, I thought long and hard about this. I thought that would be extremely entertaining. Both teams have to send out either their best fighter or best player. The FA can decide. I'm not the brains behind it. But he's not the best fighter. He just gets sent off. But I thought that was too violent. you know, I didn't think that was suitable for kids, so I settled on rap battle. Right at the start of the game. Rap battle has
the captains have to do it.
Captains have to do a rap battle.
Yeah, at the start of the game.
What does that... What did that... Why, what does that achieve?
Instead of football.
Instead of flipping the coin, you have to do
a rap
battle.
Yeah, there you go. That works. Yeah.
There you go.
Whoever's it is, it's pretty pointless, but you get to see who tips off first. You know?
Yeah. Rap battle for tip. That's what I'll have.
Rap scallions all the way.
Yeah. Mm. Rap scallions. Nice.
Nice. Result. Well, I like the idea. It's kind of in the same audio realm. I like the idea of just having someone there that's devoted to playing wacky theme tunes.
Like a soundboard?
Yeah, at random intervals. Like, oh look, he fell over. Whoop!
Yeah, soundboard.
That would entertain me for about 2 minutes. Yeah.
When they have a miss, like, it's like, wah, wah,
yeah.
Wah.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like...
A really horrible generic one, like a really bad American radio show, like in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Like, I would love that for a few minutes
it's
and then hate
it. KCLR FM. Yeah. Wah,
wah, wah. I also like the idea of just having more playoffs because they're great.
Yeah, I'd go
just
with that as
playoffs
well.
All the time. Just playoffs for anything.
Like
playoffs to decide who
mid-table.
Tips off.
Decide mid-table, I was thinking.
Yeah. Who finishes 10th?
Yeah,
anybody who finishes...
There's no excitement between 9 and 10th. So
anybody
who
finishes maybe say 12th to 8th. It's that kind of...
And it would be purely financial as well because you get more money for finishing higher. So.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever finishes 8 gets an extra billion or something in the bank. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, but you get it from TV.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Right, okay, take your point.
It's a playoff off.
These are very valid points.
I thought the same kind of, you know...
same page.
Points for, you know, say... It's just some of the prop ones. You know, if you get... You should get more points if you score more goals. You score more than 4 goals a match. Maybe you should get an extra point. Bonus
like the bonus point in rugby.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Maybe something like that. Make it a bit more interesting. Or, you know, maybe a bigger... fine for diving, or you know, TV deal could be restructured in some way or whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I decided on, and something not a lot of teams do, I think Celtic might be the only team that I know of that do it, and Bolton, sorry, two of them do it. It's like anytime a goal is scored, Depeche Mode has to play.
Oh no, I don't like music after goals.
Over and over again. Every time.
Would you not start to hate that? I hate when music's played after goals. I hate that.
But I think
I went to Celtic before. And I think they won 3-0. And I had to listen to it 3 times.
It's like, oh, I've been there thrice now. And there was five goals in the first one, 6 goals in the next one, and then 3 in the next one.
Never listen, the Scottish League. Never listen to Chelsea Dagger again.
There's a lot of Chelsea Dagger. And I bought that. I think the first time I was there, I bought that album because it was like the big album to have at that stage. And then went, fucking hell, I've heard this song 12 times anyway.
They only had the first 7 seconds of the song.
So Depeche Mode,
that's the only
every
you
time.
Care about
what was that? And I also thought that managers should be forced to give a prediction, like in their pre-match press conference. If they get it wrong, they should be punished. So they should have to give a prediction. So, you know,
a touchline ban if they're wrong.
You know, next year, Arsene Wenger is like, it's like, oh, what score do you think the match will be against West Brom? Just being like, oh, I think we'll win 2-1. And then, you know, West Brom win 3-0 or 2-0 or whatever. It's like, you got it wrong, you're banned.
I thought you were going to get darker. Like, we take your finger.
I do like the idea. This just occurred to me. Now, you know how in FIFA, I don't know how modern this statement is because I don't usually play video games at all. But you know how in FIFA they used to do, like... If you can make a league between yourselves, between like a couple
you
of teams.
You and your mates.
Yeah, and your mates could make a little league. And then if you won the game, you get these like bonuses that you could apply.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I kinda,
you could take away the team's star
player.
You could
take away the team's star player. Like say if you beat them earlier in the season.
You're basically making football more like a board game where it's like, do not pass
exactly.
go.
Do
not collect your end of the year turnover.
Do not pass go. Do not play Robin Van Persie in next game.
Bonuses for, you know, corners, you know, that kind of stuff. Anyway, on to the real football, lads. The Champions League final, which we didn't have one actually covered yet. Because
seems like an awfully long time ago.
We're waiting for other teams.
Yeah, well, this is more of an end of the year roundup podcast, pretty much.
We're taking a holiday. We're already on the beach, lads.
We don't care what
happens. That's why we're all sunburned and horrible.
I am. I'm awful pink.
Pink belly pink. Bayern Munich beat Dortmund 2-1. That was actually quite a good final, in my opinion. What do you think of it?
It was. The football quality was high. The drama wasn't very high. But the football, the quality of football, which, you know, oftentimes it's nice to get a dramatic final. You know, we haven't had as dramatic a final since Liverpool 3-3 Milan, in my opinion, where we won. It was great. I'm happy. But we haven't had as dramatic a final since then. But this was, in regards to football, the ability was fantastic. It was just nice. There wasn't a lot of, bar one Dante incident, there wasn't a lot of massive slip-ups. I'll use a nice term.
But it was played in the right spirit as well. There wasn't, you know, feck-arsery about, you know. Yeah.
Bayern Munich did go down a lot. Some of their players were going down very easily and quite frequently.
Yeah, I don't think I noticed that as much considering.
Even Muller was going down.
That happened. See, you kind of expect it. Most of them were fairly all right, except for the ones who, you know, aren't really going to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, fair point. I think it was, as a football match, it was very good because. I think both teams wanted to go for the win.
It wasn't very good as a concert, but it was pretty good as a football match.
Yeah. As a contest, it was good. As a concert, not so good. Both teams really wanted to go for it. And they weren't, you know, if this had been, you know, Man United, Man City, it would have been maybe a bit more negative. Well, maybe actually that's not the best yet. Maybe Man United, Chelsea or something like that. You know, two teams from the same league playing against each other. It would have been a bit more negative. They were maybe trying to hit the counter-attack, whereas Bayern Munich and Dortmund were both going, well, we want to score. We don't care. Like, we just want to score a goal. And you could see that the way Dortmund started the game, the first 20 minutes maybe, they were very good.
I've got to say, they were excellent. I mean, they really took us by surprise. Like, well, me personally took me by surprise because I had seen how Bayern played all year in a couple of league games as well. Good few. More than RT's Eamon Dunphy, who bragged in pre-match commentary about having seen one Dortmund and Bayern Munich game. You know, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, like, they've had all these games they played. They played them in the cup. A game I saw personally, and they won. It was like, okay, calm down there.
Pointing out the one game that you saw just kind of gets rid of...
Yeah, which means you haven't seen any of the others.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've seen less.
Automatically makes you look worse than if you hadn't said anything.
But all in all, I mean, we've seen how Bayern played all year, and the start from Dortmund really was... It showed worrying signs early on, I thought, because they were really getting stuck in.
Yeah, I read a thing before the game that said that maybe because of the way that the wingers played, the wingers for both teams had played in the semi-finals, which was kind of like stopping the fullbacks, particularly for Bayern, who, like, Robin and Ribery were unbelievably good at stopping Alves and Alba getting up.
Yeah,
and that in the final they're probably both teams would put that into effect as much as they could, and it would turn into this kind of stale affair where the most creative players were trying to stop
the other creative players,
and we kind of just, it's like multiplying zero by zero and
just stagnant,
like nothing would happen. But luckily enough, they just went, well, there's a bit of space here, I'm going to go there as opposed to trying to
defend.
There's
a lot of not intentional counterattacking, I don't think, from Dortmund. They weren't sitting back, but Bayern were so, in the second half particularly, Bayern would attack really, really well. And then, well, actually, even both teams, really, apparently. Like, you know, either team would attack, so Bayern would attack, but they'd attack in numbers, and really the only two players left were the centre backs. And then suddenly they're, you know, there's nobody. And then Dortmund kicked the ball, and Blaszczykowski's running up the pitch, and he puts it into, you know, Lewandowski or whoever's running through. And you look and go, or you look and say, well, you know, Dortmund, Bayern don't have any defenders there, and then a minute later, you know, Robben's running up the other side and Muller's crossing the ball in and whatever, and there was that wonderful clearance from Subotic, wasn't it, off the line pretty much
that
was wonderful clearance. I was really impressed. Like, that was kind of I wouldn't say it was the only moment in the game that made you kind of stand up and go, oh, like, I mean, Robben's goal was very
it was late on, it was kind of Robin has this reputation of being kind of a bottler in the big games, and there were signs, I said it before.
Yeah. It's like going down to Paddy Power, like, I'm not backing him. He's a massive bottler in the final.
I mean, yeah, there's so many examples that you can say, like semi-finals and finals, he's just like hasn't performed and he's missed big chances. Ooh. And even in this final, he did. But then that was.
But he kicked the ball out of Weidenfeller's face.
Yeah,
that was good.
Which, when you say, "Oh, great save," and it's like. I mean, he did well to get that shape. It's like, this happens in Champions League finals a lot. If you remember the old Dudek face save from Shevchenko.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm sure there's a couple more.
I remember I only saw this game
a lot, twice in the last one.
It's more you'd expect. More face saves. It's more you'd expect.
Sky Sports showed that game in the build up to the Dortmund-Bayern final, and I was watching some of it, and it was the after that great double save he made from Shevchenko, Dulek made, and Andy Gray kind of goes, oh, you might as well just write Liverpool's name on the cup now. And I kind of said, it's a good bit of commentary from Andy Gray, actually. You know, when I think about it, it's like, wait, no, what am I saying? It's like, no, that's so wrong.
Yeah, but back to the final itself. Well, no, as you pointed out, it was a very good final, good contest, and I wouldn't say I was bored at any point through.
Yeah, just, no, I think it was good football on display. I think both teams were attacking, and they wanted to attack. And even when Bayern scored that late goal, Dortmund were still going and still really trying to get
both
a goal.
Both keepers were
very good.
Very, very good.
Yeah
they were.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about the game, because there was
exactly,
20-something shots. Like, I mean, both teams had near enough 10 shots on target each, which was rather impressive.
And it was great for, back to the last-minute winner kind of thing. It was good to have a kind of dramatic goal, and it was a good quality goal as well, where it was like, I mean, it's a goal worthy of seeing again and again as a kind of final winning goal, you know?
I'm kind of disappointed he got the goal, because the game was quite good, as we said.
Yeah,
well, I was kind of like
saying that.
I would like to see it go to extra time, because at least if Robben has scored the first minute of half time, he's still at 30 minutes or 29 minutes.
Yeah.
After And you're like,
but that's a good thing, isn't it? That you wanted more football.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly,
that doesn't happen too often when people get nervous in finals.
Yeah,
you know, you kind of go, oh, come on, score the winner.
Spain, Holland.
I've got other plans.
Spain, Holland was terrible. Spain, Italy, I know there's a lot of goals in that game.
But it was effectively over after 20 minutes.
The Champions League, the Man United Chelsea game was awful. It was a terrible game. I know people said it was a very good game, but I don't think it was. I remember watching that.
We may have watched it together. Yeah,
actually,
There was a lot in it, though. That's the sort of thing. It's like, it went out of the penalties. It was so exciting, and there was a sending off, and
that's
so much, you know. And there was a penalty in the game.
It was pre-podcasting era, that was.
The Bayern Munich.
Good times when we didn't give something away for free that took up so many hours of our lives.
But the rewards are great. Just speaking of Robben, I didn't think he had a very good game. I know he got an assist and a goal, but...
No, that's what I was going to say. Like, up until that moment, you thought, this is exactly like Arjen Robben. He's just bottling it. He had two or three decent chances to score and didn't take them.
Mm.
And you're kind of thinking, he just cannot perform in big air. But then, you know...
Yeah, I think if anything showed is that he probably can, but... In a kind of, like, he gets the vital, I mean, you said it yourself, assist and goal.
Yeah.
Two things that pretty much...
The assist was...
Yeah.
The most basic pretty much won them the
I think
the
actually
final.
Both goals were a great display of how quick and agile he is, because keeping the ball in for the first one, to get it by the keeper and just flick it back. And I think, is it Hummels who tries to clear it? And he just, his foot's, I mean, inches, centimetres away from that ball, and then it just comes into Mandzukic, he just taps it into an empty net. And then the goal itself, where he just... jinks in, kind of, okay, he's a little bit lucky with the ball bounce, and then just looks up and goes, I'll just flick it into that corner.
Yeah. I know it's a stupid topic to bring up, but the whole guts of being out, like, how vital do you think that was to the final in general? I mean, I know that's a very silly question, but it's not something we've had a chance to talk about yet.
I think
we may as well talk about it.
Well, he is one of their most creative players, and, like, it obviously made a difference.
Mm.
Like,
I'm not sure if creativity was the problem
team,
in that game, though.
Yeah, well, no, but any team missing one of their best attacking players...
Best players in general.
Yeah, you're missing out. Like, Bayern Munich had their strongest lineup, and Dortmund didn't. So, I don't know if it would have changed the result, but it would have changed the game, probably.
Yeah.
No, but if you were able to pick,
like,
it's a player like that, as if you were able to pick the ball up and run at a defence,
yeah,
regardless of who it is, if you're a good player of that quality, the chances you get fouled are greater, you know, and the chances you maybe win
a penalty. Yeah, anything could have happened. You said yourself that there was plenty of occasions when
it was two on one, two on two at the back.
And you would definitely prefer to have Götze there than probably any of the other Dortmund players. Maybe not Lewandowski.
Yeah.
Maybe Royce.
Maybe Götze running with the ball.
But yeah, you'd want Götze to be the one.
There was a great moment in the game, I remember, when Royce had the ball, one of these breakaways, and he kind of looked up and said, I'm not really going anywhere with this, I'll shoot it. So he shot it with his left foot, and he forced them. Neuer into a save. Neuer kind of punched it out for, I think he went for a throw. I'm not sure if I'm throwing a corner. And I kind of thought, I was like, that's the kind of intelligent play you don't see. And I don't mean to criticise not just English players. I mean, you don't see a lot of Premiership teams doing it. It's like they'd rather run that up, save another player who's coming on the attack, wait a bit, maybe win the corner eventually, but play it off a defender. Whereas Royce went, nah, just take a shot. See, you never know.
Yeah, exactly.
Neuer was kind of crap. I have to knock this away now, and he didn't catch it. He punched it away pretty much.
So it's like the thing we were saying about Jamie Carragher last week. It's like, you actually realise football can be ridiculously simple if you want to just go, I'll just hit it.
That's why Harry Redknapp's the manager.
I'll just whack it, you know?
I think it's, we got something we didn't cover either, Dante's tackle.
What I was going to bring it up was, should it have been sent off?
Yeah, probably.
He was booked at that stage, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He got booked the first half. And
insanely stupid.
True, yeah.
I mean, it was in no way malicious. It was just
no, it's just sloppy,
but it's
poor.
Questionable, yeah, and would make you say the thing that people have been saying for so long. Well, he was only 800 grand. What do you expect? You know, people have been talking about how great a bargain he is, but really atrocious. Like, I'm not like, and he really could have let the team down there on that one. You know, he wouldn't be singing on iTunes after that. He'd be bloody cast out.
He'd be cast away.
Cast away.
Tom Hanks.
Classic movies there, ladies.
It is another point that Gundogan scored a penalty.
Never taken a penalty for Dortmund before.
I do not.
No.
Wow. Clean, crisp penalty in any way.
Yeah, very
good. But you do, also when you look back at the match and you kind of go, and I pointed this out to the press I was watching it with at the time, and I was like, you know, saying he had money on Dortmund to win, and I kind of said, well, in fairness, you kind of say Dortmund did play very well, but the old goal they scored was a set penalty, and they may not have scored a goal if they didn't get that.
Yeah.
Bayern may well have won by two or three more. You never know the way it would have went. It's kind of weird now because Bayern went. They won the cup a week later.
They beat
Stuttgart 3-2.
Pretty good match as well, actually.
How do we know we discussed this already? But what does Pep Guardiola do now when he comes in? Because Heinkes is gone. He's not doing anything next year. He said. He hasn't. I don't think he's announced his retirement, but he says he won't be manager next year.
Yeah, looks like he's going to announce his retirement.
Even though Real Madrid seem to be interested in
it. Yeah, it looks like he is going to announce his retirement, to be honest. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago about Pep Guardiola, and the one thing people have to remember is, I mean, Bayern are a big project for the next couple of years. I know Heinkes got a fantastic result this year, and it was a while coming because, you know, as we talked about, the year... When they signed Guardiola at the time, there was no guaranteed success. They were doing very well and all, but there was no guaranteed success in any of it.
Yeah, I mean, quarterfinals of the Champions League, that was
exactly
at that stage.
A man like Guardiola comes along who's achieved so much with a manager who's getting old and who, you know...
Who had already announced that he was leaving.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe he can't do anything in the next year or two, but as a long-term project, if he gets them playing, like... anything like they are now and keeps that up for a number of years, I mean, that's going to be a fantastic project to be working with.
Mm.
You know, and it'll, I mean, not only that, but I mean, we talk about we all get frustrated at seeing Beckham, the kind of brand. I mean, Guardiola in himself is a brand for good football, something that people are going to watch. You know, if a lot of people don't watch Bayern Munich now, or they will when Guardiola goes there, because they'll be, oh, that's the Barcelona manager, the guy who had Barcelona playing the best football, the best team in the world. You know, to add him to this team that won the treble, they're going to be incredible.
He's one of these names that kind of expands beyond just the realm of football, that people go, oh, I know Guardiola, I know Messi, I know Beckham, I know Ronaldo, I know...
I mean, apart from, we're not lumping him in with people that can't do anything, I still think he's a fantastic talent, but it adds to that as well. It means that, you know, the success they've had and adding this manager to it will probably... you'll probably find a load of people around... who we never knew liked football at all wearing Bayern Munich jerseys next year.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Because also the whole thing was like, it's such a glamorous club to play for now that they have this, like, Jupp Heynckes did a brilliant job, obviously, but, you know, people were kind of like, I play for Jupp Heynckes.
Who's Jupp Heynckes?
Yeah, it's like, obviously people who like are into football would obviously know, but there is that sort of thing. It's like, I could play under Pep Guardiola here. Like, I don't know, it's kind of like a draw towards Bayern Munich, an even bigger one than
they already have.
Than they already
this
have.
This is their chance.
And but even still, like, if they hadn't have won the Champions League, they weren't as ridiculously successful this season as they have been. It still wouldn't have. I don't think it would have made much of a difference. Götze could well have still gone
because
of the prospect of playing under Guardiola. Same with Lewandowski looks set to go. There's just so many other players who they could just go, we'll have him, grand, and they'll just, they wouldn't even blink at the
thought
of it. They'd just go, want to play under Guardiola. It's like two things that would
so
draw
attractive.
Yeah.
I mean, they could get a lot of players. I won't say any player in the world, because I don't think the lure of playing the Bundesliga is as it is even in England or in Spain in particular.
No, but I think it's
definitely
been,
growing.
I think
Monaco.
It certainly is growing. I mean, for example, say maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I wouldn't have watched much Bundesliga myself.
But you would now.
Yeah, I'd record it weekly and try and catch as much of it as I can. And, you know, similarly, as we pointed out, the pull is now stronger. I mean, the same way Beckham going to America adds an attraction for people to kind of...
Now
you're
feeding Thierry Henry over there.
Things like that. I mean, the German league isn't small. Let's make sure we're not lumping it in with America or anything.
There's only 18 teams.
It's a fantastic league, and it's already very, very attractive, and the smart people will have watched it.
But I mean, it's some of the
more
best
recently than
see,
us.
And
yeah,
the stadium's always full.
But I'm just saying, on the mainstream side of it, you know, a big name going there draws a lot of attention. Similarly, I think it's great press for the German league that even Mourinho was linked there a while ago.
Yeah.
We were talking about he'll go to Dortmund, even though I think we all agreed that wouldn't
never happen.
But I mean, it's good press. It's showing that it's a success. It has been for a couple of years. And it's now getting what it deserves, I suppose.
Just hope it's not the success of two teams rather than the league itself. You know, you hope that Leverkusen maybe are in the Champions League next year, or Schalke can go and do something in Champions League. I mean, Schalke had a good season.
Schalke
did
brilliantly in Europe this season, which is kind of overlooked, probably rightly, because
the other two teams
got to the final. But like, they had a great season.
Actually,
and
they could all... If they could all make a big impact, then you've got... Because, I mean, when you had English teams making three English teams making the semi-finals a couple of years ago, you know, you kind of look and say, Jesus, English football's best. And then, even though it goes, and, you know, it's not to say English football's crap now, but it's like, it goes in waves. The German league's doing really well now. The Italian league might come back in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Then it might be Spain again. Then it might be France even. You know?
I think we should basically make this a German football podcast. That's where the money is.
Yeah.
That's where the lack of money is.
Yeah. But there is,
as
to be said, like, even if it is just based on the success of two or maybe three teams, that can go such a long way towards the entire league, because people might go, oh, I might watch that league actually.
Mm,
and
yeah.
the whole league would get
more
get the
yeah.
benefit from
it would
just
increase.
More money. And the German league is just ridiculously good at making the most of what it has.
Mm.
Like, money wise, they just it's just so
Fair fan.
It's just
you
so
know,
yeah.
players like Fair
it's,
fan.
It's just so well run as a
Well, it's
as
German.
A league. Yeah. It's just
that.
It's incredible.
I saw, and we mentioned briefly, but it was Eamon Dunphy talking at the end of the coverage on RT in Ireland, if you're from abroad, and very controversial pundit, as we know. He was very dismissive of Bayern Munich when he said there was no great performance in this. There was no moment when they showed that they can, you know, that they're a great team. He said that they took on an understrength Barcelona because Messi was injured. Like, and he seemed very dismissive when he said they don't stand out as a great team. There's no legacy really in the
He made the point that there's no Xavi or Iniesta in the team. And
him
not
him
everyone can be
midfield.
A Xavi or Iniesta. I'd like to point out that Barcelona tried to buy Javi Martinez.
Yeah.
Schweinsteiger is one of Europe's best midfielders.
Like,
they don't need to be. They don't need to be a Xavi
or
Iniesta.
Midfielders that are three midfielders that Bayern Munich or Barcelona have.
They don't need to be a Xavi or Iniesta. They're a separate thing completely.
Exactly. Like,
I'd also like to point out that Eamon Dunphy is a man whose life is focused more around drama than quality.
Yeah.
You know, hence writing for the Star, you know, all of that other stuff. You know, sensationalism. So when he saw that final, he saw no sensationalism, but missed out on all the quality.
I think the point that he was trying to, like, I think he was kind of dismissive of this idea that this Bayern Munich team is a great team. You know, I think what he wanted to say was, like, it's not this, like, time will tell if this team is a great team sort of thing.
Mm.
I may be reading into too much,
giving too much credit.
Sensibility in the man that has none of it. But, you know, I think he was kind of because even after the Barcelona game against Bayern, all three of the pundits were very much like, look, Bayern did brilliantly, but like this Barcelona team has been absolutely
incredible. But they can
incredible.
Only beat what's in front of them.
Yeah, I know that, yeah. But I think it's just kind of trying to tone down the hype that's around this Bayern Munich.
I think that's a shame, though, because, I mean, they wouldn't be doing that. I mean, you talk about, say, the Liverpool, as we've mentioned already about twice, I'm sorry to bring it up again, but the sensationalism behind, like, Liverpool, you know, and that they're talking about, like, they never said it then, you know, because it has a player like Gerrard who they can use as a kind of sensationalist, last-minute goal-hitting type player. And they're saying it doesn't have, they're basically saying that Bayern Munich don't have that.
That's the,
they don't have a star man that they can just look to and talk about all the time.
And I think Liam Brady kind of alluded to that, and he said,
another Irish pundit.
Yeah, Liam Brady on RT, the Irish, he said that it's not just, he said that about him, he's like, well, this isn't your kind of team, because they don't have that Messi in it, or they don't have Xavi Iniesta. He goes, they have a team that are good. He goes, look at the way the goals have been spread around. Muller, I think, was top goal scorer of the season, wasn't he? And then Mandzukic, and then Mario Gomez. I mean, Muller's not even a forward, really. You know what I mean? Mandzukic is, and Mario Gomez barely, like, not that he barely played, but he didn't play as many games as Mandzukic did. And still these three at the top goal scorers. Then you got Robben and Ribéry, and then you kind of look and go, oh my God, and then you've got Schweinsteiger, Lamb, and
Javier Martinez.
Who was unbelievable in both those games.
And even players who you would hardly think of, like, Claudio Pizarro scored loads of goals.
Yeah. Goals in one game or whatever it was.
Yeah, five in one game.
Yeah.
But
I know what you mean,
still,
yeah.
Like, he's kind of like...
made an impact.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what I want to finish this on is, and was we talked about Guardiola and coming in, it's like, and you've talked about this system that Guardiola played at Barcelona, and we all know it was brilliant and it worked for 2 or 3 years. But I think the Bayern Munich system is much more efficient, and I don't mean to stereotyping because they're German, but I mean it's much more efficient. It works much better than the Barcelona system did because there's a better pressing game in it.
I don't know if you can say that because, as you said, you can only beat what's put in front of you. Like, the Barcelona system worked perfectly for 3 years and they won like a ridiculous amount of trophies.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't mean that
they also
that
did
one
beat,
way.
They did also did beat Barcelona.
A very I.
Like, I don't know.
As I said,
over
two
legs
from
to beat them, what, 7-0?
No,
yeah, but
know,
it's not Guardiola's
Barcelona,
I
mean,
in fairness.
Yeah, it's hard to judge that. I definitely think this is a considerably weaker Barcelona team than was 2 years ago.
Well,
and
weren't they
the
missing,
team,
in fairness though, to Bayern Munich, weren't they missing Mandzukic for the first leg?
They were, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was their
players. I'm just saying, like, this Bayern Munich team, it seems like this is the peak. This is just, like, the insanely good year. Where if you go towards the Barcelona team, when they were ridiculously good, you know, I think it's a lot closer than 7-0 on aggregate anyway.
Yeah,
but I just think it's hard to judge, like, what's more effective. Bayern Munich won the treble, Barcelona won the treble.
Thing with Barcelona was they were always tired during games, and you don't see that with the Bayern Munich team.
It's Guardiola's first job, in fairness. It doesn't mean he... like that same way of playing applies to every single job he'll do. You know, some managers do change their tactics and way they play depending on the team, and I'm sure he'll have noticed that team's strengths, so won't insist that they now play tiki-taka. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I feel about it. I mean, I'm sure he'll have to adapt slightly to some of those team strengths, because either that or he'll have to just get rid of a lot of them, which will be very surprising. I mean, I don't think Götze is a very tiki-taka footballer. I think
I don't think he'd look particularly out of place playing for Barcelona.
I think he's a great outside as well, so maybe that's an indication of what kind of football he will play.
Yeah, possibly.
You know, maybe to the counter-attack football, or not counter-attack, but that dominant football they play, and bring those kind of fast players up the wings, maybe get rid of one of Robben and Ribéry, whichever he chooses.
Or possibly even both.
Mm. Possibly even both, but I wonder if teams are really going to want to spend money on players at that age.
But I think it is like, it's a huge test, or it'll be a huge showing of his ability as a manager if he can still get the best out of these players while not trying to just implement his own way of playing.
Yeah. Anyway, talking about Barcelona, talking about La Liga. It's finished. Just finished there at the weekend. Oh, what?
Sorry. We're talking about the German Cup.
Oh, we did mention they won it already.
All right. Right, yeah, just, like, there wasn't that. Just edit that bit out.
Yeah.
No, no, leave that in. That's really good.
That's
like your intro is still there. We just have to make a point after. I will wait until your intro is done.
What time is it at?
Oh, about 1:30. But that's like the new
recording,
yeah, yeah. So we have to splice the two together and be awkward. Talking about Barcelona and talking about Guardiola and all that. Talking about La Liga, where Barcelona play.
Yeah, that's where they play.
Real Sociedad.
Moving on.
Real Sociedad. The league just finished this weekend. Which is what we're talking about. Real Sociedad finished fourth. Carlos Vela inspired Real Sociedad finished fourth.
That's great, I think. I mean, we were watching at the time being like, okay, I hope they do. It'd be nice to see. Hopefully they get through the qualifying rounds. And it'd be nice to see them in it.
They kept Valencia over. They beat Deportivo, who got relegated. I mean, Deportivo were chances
second,
for the
second
title.
Year in three. Or second time in 3 years.
Yeah, Deportivo were fighting for the title only 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And now they're up and down like West Brom.
That's the point that we made, that they're almost like the new West Brom, and their jerseys are quite similar as well.
Yeah, you see.
I think it's something to do with that navy and white stripes.
Well,
Deportivo's
more
blue.
It's more of a Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah. But they didn't even get the chance to
true.
Be up and down.
Mm. Unfortunately for them. Deportivo Mallorca and Zaragoza all got relegated.
Yeah.
It was quite an interesting last day. Mallorca won 4-1 or something.
4-2.
4-2.
Yeah, yeah.
Valencia scored, I think,
3 against Sevilla.
Negredo got 4 for Sevilla, and Soldado got 3 for Valencia.
Soldado got 2 and Valencia got 1.
So Soldado got 2 in the end.
But I mean, to not get into the Champions League on the back of a 4-3 is pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk a lot about your Newcastle, Liverpool, old days with a game like that. I mean, that was to go into the Champions League. That
you talk about Barcelona event, or Barcelona Valencia 3-2 to Barcelona. Rivaldo scored a hat trick over in the last minute.
Oh, yes.
Oh, look at that
game
you're pulling up. What a game.
Oh,
Champions League football.
What a great memory. Oh.
The ball chips the ball in.
Who was it? The man, or the owner, the chief executive at the time, just got mental in the stands. That's almost my favourite memory, aside from the unbelievable goal.
Yeah.
Mm. That was a brilliant
goal. That was a hat-trick as well.
Yeah, it was a hat-trick. His other two were, so he's got a wonderful free kick, I remember.
The Sociedad game we were watching with Deportivo, I'd say it was a cracker. It was actually pretty entertaining.
Oh,
they threw it. Deportivo really threw everything in at the end and just couldn't.
Well, I watched the end of it, the last 30 minutes. They didn't seem to try for the first 20. They were pretty content with what they had, which was not good enough to stay up. They were losing 1-0 at the time, and Sociedad had a lot of chances. They just couldn't seem to score in the second one.
Yeah, well, they threw quite a lot at the end, and it just, you know, there was a couple of posts and amazing saves. Well, not amazing saves, but just happenstance blocks and saves at the end that it added to the drama, you know?
Yeah, it was really exciting. It was one of those ones, it was the sort of ending that was missing.
Yeah,
from,
more screen stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that was great.
The sort of ending that was missing from the Premiership
for
when
anyone
was like, oh,
yeah, for anyone that didn't see it, there was a four-way split screen between the games of Valencia and Sociedad to be to get into the Champions League spot, and for the three relegation teams, and it was great. You could
the last
2 minutes, you could watch them all.
All three teams that were relegated could have stayed up.
Yeah, I mean, Mallorca were at bottom at one stage, and they were.
And then they were out, and then they were back in.
Because the Celtic game was going.
Yeah.
And who managed to stay up in the end.
Yeah.
Anyway, and
a pitch invasion, which was just
fantastic. Pitch invasion. Yeah, that pitch invasion,
that
kind of stuff. Even if you're going to have a pitch invasion, beat some players up, nobody's going to catch you. Is in the league. Mourinho's left. We knew that was happening.
Yeah.
Left Madrid. And
we have to talk about this.
Pellegrini's left Malaga. And they broke onto the Premier League. Well, Mourinho, we know he's gone to Chelsea to Man City.
Pellegrini
really looks certain to go to Man City. Mourinho back to Chelsea?
Yeah, it's
the merry-go-round of managers happens in the Premier League now.
Yeah, with the "I'm one of you" quote, which is basically, remember how much you hate Rafa Benitez. Well, I'm not him. I'm that guy you like.
I actually read something interesting. You know how during Benitez's reign, the 16th minute they would applaud Di Matteo, or some members of the
team
would applaud Di Matteo because they were against
being
sacked.
Not as nice as Petrov's one.
No, but it was just as a stance of being against him having been sacked. And this article was wondering if this would continue during Mourinho's reign, where obviously all Chelsea fans would be just delighted to have him there.
It's
interesting, like, kind of the idea of you know, they're unhappy that Di Matteo got sacked only based on the fact that Benitez came
in. I'm not
so
sure it is that, though. I'm sure it's like, it's one of those people you feel was untreated fairly.
Yeah, but I don't.
I mean,
don't.
If it had been when Dalglish came back or, you know, something like that, they wouldn't be, you know, it's a legend at the club type thing, you know, so they're not going to. I mean, Man City may very well be, a lot of fans be opposed to Mancini having been sacked after he won them the league, but they're not going to keep doing it through Pellegrini's reigning charge because I'm sure they're excited about the prospect of having
Pellegrini
as a manager.
It's that sort of thing. It's like, is it actually supporting one person or is it just being against the person who came in?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And just showing that opposition by being supportive of who was there beforehand.
Mm. Well, they're going to support Mourinho, though, surely.
Well, obviously, yeah. See, that's the point.
Such great success.
Yeah.
Do you think you can replicate that, or has the league changed that much, or is this a perfect opportunity because it's changed the managers?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the top two other teams.
Certainly. I mean, it's going back to familiar grounds in a way. I mean, I don't see why you couldn't. You know, if people are going to get down and put their money on Chelsea, it wouldn't surprise me.
But what people are saying is John Terry's past it. Lampard's, you know, there's no guarantee he'll have another great season. Cech's looked wobbly in the last year or two.
But I mean, he does have a few people. I mean, you could be horrible and say that Gary Cahill is the new John Terry. Romeo Lukaku could very well be the new Drogba if he takes him back. Torres is rumoured to be going to Napoli to follow Benitez. You know, you could, and it wouldn't surprise me with Mourinho. He's going to find a couple of decent midfielders. People will, they followed him before.
Yeah. See, the
people
thing,
are going to follow him again.
The thing is that when he came in, he had the backbone of a decent team. And now he's coming in with the backbone of another decent team. They just happen to be different players to who he had before.
Mm. Well, who were they?
Well, he has Juan Mata, who's a fantastic player. Oscar and Hazard are great prospects.
Mm.
You know, he has David Luiz in midfield, who could well turn into a very good midfielder. He still has Peter Cech, who will play on for another 4 or 5 years and will be perfectly fine as a Premiership goalkeeper.
He'll make mistakes, but
you know,
he will be the number
Ivanovic is a good,
had a good
defender.
Year.
Had a very good year. You know,
potential in there. Backup.
I don't think so.
Lukaku
anyway,
coming back.
Yeah, he has Lukaku. Like, he has a good team there, or he has a lot of good players, and he just got the most out of them the first time he was there. They just happened to be different players.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Pellegrini probably going to City then. We've discussed this already, though, because it seems
it hasn't
been confirmed yet, and they want this holistic approach where they want the same structure within the club. They want the same players to be playing these games. There's talk that Vieira will be the manager in a couple of years, so he might move into a coaching role when Pellegrini comes in, but really there's not much we can say until it actually happens, because it may not happen. You know, the chances are it will. In other managerial news, Stoke have sacked Tony Pulis.
Yeah. Well, actually, this had happened.
It's not news.
By the last time we
we talked about it last time. Yeah.
Quite a lot, but they replaced him, pretty quickly actually.
Yeah, which happened when we last talked.
Yeah,
Mark Hughes is he
your favourite manager in the world?
Yeah. Is he? Is this the last chance? Can he do a good job?
I think it's a match made in heaven, because for the neutrals, they don't like either. You know, a neutral's not like Perkins or Stoke. So, you know, I think they're pretty. Yeah, I don't know. I think Hughes has made some bad choices in the last while. I think he didn't really know what he wanted when he went to Fulham. Like, I think he must think a little bit higher of himself, because I think he could have.
Yeah, he does. He did.
I think he could have.
He had that Man City job, though.
Yeah. I think he could have done a good job at Fulham. I think he could have stayed there for another 2 or 3 years and worked on something, but when he resigned, it was more like, I'm not arsed with this team.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay,
it's a bit weird. It's like that Football Manager thing where you're like, oh, I'll take over this team. This could be a good laugh. And then you're kind of like, oh, I'm not doing it so well.
Yeah. Mm. But I think he started off with that, and then, you know, followed up with QPR, and you're like, okay, well, look, you have money, you go push on. He proved that he couldn't do it. I mean, I don't know.
There might be that thing, like, his one good thing that he's done was Blackburn, where he did a good job.
Wales as well.
Well, Wales, yeah.
And okay. I wouldn't say he was terrible at Man City.
Yeah, but the
oh, but you think he was good at Fulham with QPR?
It's been kind of a big failure when he's had a lot of money, because he just goes, I haven't got a clue what to do with a lot of money.
Mm.
And Stoke will have an alright bit of money. They're bringing,
they spent a lot of money.
They're bringing a few decent players, but they won't. They won't anger him by having absolutely no money.
Yeah.
Or they won't have too much pressure on them because they have loads of money. Mm.
They're up there Stoke with the top spenders.
Yeah, he gives them the top four teams. And they have one of the highest, I think, net, like, not including transfers. Like, including transfers out, they spend so much money compared to the players they've sold. Whereas you look at teams like even, I don't know, you can say Tottenham and stuff like that, who've sold players to big money but bought players in for decent money as well. It's bizarre that they spend so much money, and Pulis got away with spending so much money for so long and providing not a lot in return. Yeah. But he's gone now. And do you think Hughes will change the approach, the tactics?
I would say so. I don't see him playing the same way Pulis did.
So you'll have to change the person.
I don't mean it necessarily be successful. I just mean there'll be a degree of it, because as I pointed out earlier, he's going to know what their strengths are.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll Mowbray it and go, well, we have to play football now with a load of lads for the last couple of years who've just been belting
up and around. He's not that naive. And another manager who moved, Martinez, looks like he's about to take the Everton job. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of again referenced it before, so it's not startling news. It'll probably work. I don't know. It's hard to say. He's
I don't think it will.
No,
yeah, I don't. I question
Martinez overrated. My eyes.
Yeah,
I already said the Everton job isn't a great job to go into.
Mm-hmm.
I think Martinez has done a good job at Wigan to a certain extent, and winning the FA Cup was great. But you know, winning the cup competition and having four average, below average seasons of Premiership, he hasn't taken the club forward. I mean, great, he might take the Everton job and finish 7th or 8th every season, but that's not what Everton need or want.
Well, right now they're 5th, so I imagine it's going to be staying there is going to be the idea. And we'll see. I mean, go back to past podcasts for this debate if you want. We've had this debate last week and possibly even the week before when he left. Or when we thought he was leaving, when he won the cup or whatever.
Yeah, but it just seems dead certain that he's going to go there.
Yeah.
In the playoff final, Palace played Watford. It was a dour match.
It was. It was a very disappointing
play. Yeah, real letdown. Almunia made some good saves.
Almunia was gas that game. He showed his the best and worst of him in about 5 minutes when he came out and made a fantastic save and then flapped at a corner and nearly conceded a goal. Like, from the resulting save, it was like, he setting up assists for his own goals and he concedes nearly.
He made a good save or two in the game, but it was Kevin Phillips who got to win a penalty. Well, not win a penalty, he scored a penalty to win it for Palace, and they're delighted. I mean, I like Kevin Phillips, he's a great player, has been for many years, and he's probably not quite cut out for Premiership football, but I'd like to get a chance at least, because he is a goal scorer.
He's had the chance though before.
He did score 30 something goals for Sunderland, but he's
not. Yeah.
But it's great to see him get up. I mean, he got promoted a couple of years ago at West Brom and got released by West Brom.
Yeah.
I think he went to Birmingham after that, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was also nice to see for Zaha. I mean, you can see he loves that club. It was really, he was determined. He wanted to help them. Like, in that, he may have done it a bit too much himself in that game, but he wanted to see them promoted as his last game with the club. He was like, we're going up, you know, I'm not leaving a team that's staying in the Championship, you know. But also, there's the rumours that he could be loaned back to them for the year. So.
Which could be great, I think. I think it's a very logical thing to do, because he won't play all that much at United.
Chelsea did it with Alexis Merton. I mean,
then again, there's the Durosova. He's got to travel up. You can move to Manchester, he could settle in the area, he could have a year at the club, maybe not playing that much, but learning how the club works there.
Well, that's true, works. But I think just being a Premiership footballer and the amount of responsibility he'll have as a Premiership footballer will serve him quite well. I mean, he's one of the most important players for Crystal Palace at this point. So, I don't know, I just always think playing football is just much more important than not, and he won't play.
I know Alex Ferguson's there, and it's going to be different because Moyes will still be finding his feet and will be for a long time. But I remember Alex Ferguson saying that there's no point sending players on loan to a club we're going to get relegated, because it ruins the player's confidence no matter what.
Well,
it's happened before.
Yeah, he says, fair point. Yeah.
He's had players come back from spells like that where their confidence is shattered, and it doesn't matter that
no Fabio next season then.
Well, stay up to Dave Moyes, isn't it?
It's also worth pointing out that one of Shane Keane's favourites is returning to the Premier League now with a Holloistic replow. Shall we say?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well played.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Ian Holloway back in the Premiership. Ian Holloway, Paul of the Canio.
Holloistic approach is just being mental. It's just like coming out with absurd things like weekly just to get a bit of media attention on your side. So I'll be like, oh, hope Crystal Palace they stay up. A funny guy there. He's funny.
Yeah. Didn't feel like that one Blackpool were there. But anyway. Just moving on to the internationals that happened during the week or the last few days. Ireland played England in a friendly 1-1.
Yeah, and performed quite admirably.
Yeah, performed quite well. But then again, it's the kind of thing that happens with Trapattonian Church. You know, you go there and you sit back and kind of defend well and live on the edge a bit. And Ford had a brilliant game, I think.
I was delighted to see Ford play so well. I mean, he's started off well after, you know, with giving gone. And has just kept that up.
Well, see, people said, oh, Westwood's going to be forced. Westwood got a few games. I was like, well, Westwood's crap.
Yeah. Well, let's not shatter that confidence.
I mean, he's younger, much younger than Ford is. Yeah. But I mean, he wasn't Ford's choice.
Ford is the right man for the job. Definitely. He's performing very well.
It's even not just following Given, but I mean, to say Paddy Bonner was the goalkeeper before that and then Given, you're talking about 22, 23 years of just
about that,
unbelievable goalkeepers.
Yeah.
Like, really.
Well, I mean, like, at least with Ford, he looks, one thing that I always enjoy about goalkeeper, he looks confident. He's screaming at defenders. As, like, you know, he makes a save. He's looking to distribute it to someone. He's pointing and screaming.
His distribution, his feet is brilliant.
Yeah,
he gets the ball so far up the pitch.
But it bothers me when you don't see a goalkeeper. I mean, we can talk about the likes of De Gea when he starts Manchester United. And it's just this, like, if you looked at the man, he looked small, withdrawn, and timid.
Yeah.
Whereas Ford looks bulky already. Like, he doesn't look like he would be agile, but he is somehow.
Yeah.
You know, it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable seeing him performing quite well, you know?
Yeah, no, he was very good. Same with James McCarthy and Seamus Coleman, who both deserve
massive credit.
Yeah, Shane Long. Who's Trapattoni actually complimented, which was mad to see, because so often I'm like, oh, please, you know, say the team were bad or say this happened.
Yeah.
And he came out and said the right thing. I was like, who told you to say that?
Was it Manuela?
She probably told him the right.
John Giles was
right
talking. John Giles talking not on RTE's coverage, or John Giles, another RTE panelist, and pundit. He was on the radio talking about, and he said that Ireland's two best strikers, there wasn't Keane. He said it was Long and Doyle. Kevin Doyle should be nowhere near the Ireland team. He's been relegated twice in the last 2 years.
I'm
going to
say
that six goals in that time.
I'm going to say John Giles hasn't watched Kevin Doyle in the last year.
And that's the kind of nonsense. Like, Kevin Doyle should be... No, he shouldn't be in the Ireland team. He's in... there's a chance he won't be, but he could well be playing League One football next season. He's been relegated twice. It's not his fault, but you look and say he's only scored six goals in 2 years.
Exactly. Like, huge dip in form.
Huge. I mean, tough. I mean, if you're not playing well, like, I mean... You know, Shane Long is playing very well. Of course, goals. Robbie Keane is still scoring goals, no matter how much people want to.
I would put Robbie Keane in there for the next 6 years ahead of Kevin Doyle.
Oh, absolutely.
No matter how much people want him on the team, if he keeps scoring, you can't just drop him. Like, I mean, it's a whole.
I still think he's one of those players that's still more capable of having just a really good touch or anything like that. He's more. He has just more talent than anyone else in that squad.
Yeah.
So he's just. He's scoring goals and has more talent.
He
should be in the squad.
We talked about this for a couple of years now with a few people criticising Robbie Keane highly. And I've always said it's very silly to do that. I mean, he does the basic stuff right. He might not get involved all the time. He's a bit of a poacher striker at this stage. One who will capitalise on anyone else's mistakes. But the game with Georgia was a textbook example. Keogh was having a terrible game out wide. Cox wasn't getting involved at all. Robbie Keane came on in the Georgia game, did some very basic stuff like 1-2
goals.
Yeah, well, I mean, apart from the goals he scored, some very basic stuff like 1-2s and getting involved, coming deep and getting involved with the wingers, and we looked different. We looked maybe not a lot better, but more threatening.
Considerably better.
Yeah.
And even still, like, the man has scored 56 goals for the country, and he has so much commitment to the cause. Like, he stood up to LA Galaxy and said, I'm going
to play for him.
Yeah.
To get my cap.
He's
got what? He's at 56 goals, is it?
Yeah, and did he level with Given?
Yeah, he now has the most caps for his country as well.
One more.
If he plays against Ferrell, he breaks it.
Yeah, well, he is level.
Yeah.
He will break it, definitely.
Yeah,
he will, certainly.
He breaks up himself.
Oh, no, don't even say that.
125 caps, 57 goals. I mean, 56 goals. It's pretty much a goal every like second game, yeah, which is incredible. And, oh, he doesn't score against big teams. Yes, he does score against big teams. He scored against Holland. He scored against Italy. He scored against France. He scored against all these teams. Yeah. He scored against Germany. He scored against any big team we've played against.
He's played with big teams.
Yeah, he's one of the, like, he's one of the better, if not like, you know, one of the best strikers to play in the Premiership doing this season. You know, he's got a lot of goals in the Premiership.
He's like definitely top 10 goal scorers in the history of the Premiership.
I think he is.
This doesn't mean, by the way, that I don't think people should be edging him out of the squad now. I think at the same time there should be a shout to play. I mean, when we talk about Ireland's first team again, I would love to see Darren Gibson in there. It's not something I said a few years ago, but at the way we are now, Whelan McCarthy looks like the midfield, and there's a lot of shouts for Houlihan. Come on, was creative. There's a lot of people calling for him to be in the team.
He didn't know how to play in that system.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out. Houlihan has played off Grant Holt for a lot of the year. He should be playing off strikers at this stage. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to accommodate him nearly, we would have to change formations. I'm not totally against that.
So you're probably actually putting Conor Sallam up front.
I actually think long with Houlihan off might not be a terrible idea for a plan B if he wants, or to have Robbie Keane come in as first team and switch back to 4-4-2 as plan B. I think it frees us up a little to offer a little more, you know. I think people should
with Coleman bombing down the wing as well, you've got a great threat, and you've got, okay, I don't think McGeady's a very good player, but you've still got him coming up the other wing if you want. You've got
McLean starting
running. You can have Walters even coming up the side as well, if not up front.
Yeah.
Paying off.
If it was not a right winger, and I still don't agree with, and I can't stand the fact that he is playing.
But if you put him, even if you put him up front playing alongside a player like Long,
yeah,
and then bring Keane on, yeah, place Long if it's not going well. But I just don't think Doyle should be in that squad.
No, that's silly. John Giles shouldn't be suggesting stuff like that.
I might sound a bit biased here being a Celtic fan, but why is Conor Salmon, and Kevin Doyle isn't really in the squad, but why is Anthony Stokes not getting a chance? I feel
Stokes had a bit of a chance a while ago though, and I don't feel he took it.
I don't really remember him. I remember him being in and around the squad. I can, for the life of me, not remember him playing for Ireland. Mm-hmm.
I feel
getting one or two games in it, and the back end of this season he's been really, really good for Celtic. I think last season even he scored more goals for his club than any other Irish striker playing in a high enough league.
There is always, I mean, the thing that's speculated and talked about a lot is the political aspect.
Which I understand,
won't get into too much because that's not what we're not that sure.
Trapattoni's even, but people are bothered by it. But.
Yeah, but I think he had a brief chance coming in. I think I'm not on Conor Salmon's side.
But when you look and say, you've got Conor Salmon and Simon Cox to be said, even though I don't think Simon Cox is a bad player, he's a good finisher.
I thought he was very poor in both games.
He didn't care. He didn't want to play. Did
any of you listeners or anyone see him reacting angrily to Robbie Keane's first or second goal? I can't remember which one it was. Where the ball, it was Houlihan played Robbie Keane in, and Robbie Keane slotted in, and Cox was just behind Robbie Keane. I kind of threw his arms as if to say, oh, I wanted that goal. You know, that was mine. You know, and it's...
He did score though, didn't he? Yeah,
so he scored first, but
he scored a crap goal and then stopped playing because he was like, got my goal.
He was a bit lazy in the Georgia game.
Very lazy. But then what the point of making is those two players, you could say, right, well, this was the perfect opportunity to give a player like Stokes a chance to say, we're going to play Georgia in a friendly at home. There's not too much on it, you know, people won't be too bothered really about the scores because we've just had the England match, we're going to have a qualifier next. You know, that's the important thing, but didn't even bother calling them up, which is the worrying thing, but we've already been through that.
Yeah.
Word point out, did you lads hear Clive Tilsley talk about the allegations? Well, not allegations really, it wasn't a charge or anything, but apparently Trapattoni threatened to punch McCarthy for being so shy on the pitch.
He wanted to impose
himself. And I can understand the point of it, to use his personality more to kind of dominate games, I believe, is what was cited. But Jesus, that's not appropriate. I'm so shy, I'm going to hit you.
There was probably one of the few bits of commentary from anyone in UTV that wasn't ridiculously patronising towards Ireland.
To a frustrating point where
they were like, even when he read out the score at the end, it was like, and the final score is England 1, Republic of Ireland 1.
Well, San Marino had that problem as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, better, like, better get on Twitter.
Yeah, get on Twitter, moan about that.
At San Marino, we're with you lads, alright?
Patronus. Although, Andy Townsend did at one point in the game say, I know Shane Long's not the biggest, but he has a good leap. And about 5 minutes there, Shane Long scored.
Yeah,
scored a header. Like, oh, good call, Andy. Yeah. Good call. And then he couldn't stop going on about how he said he had a good leap, really. He goes,
do you remember that time when I got it right?
Got the audio, played it back.
Shut up, band details.
England then went on to draw 2-0 with Brazil in a friendly in the Maracanã, which was on, and it was off, and it was on again.
Yeah.
The stadium fears over there, which is worrying because the Federation Cup starts in two weeks. Yeah.
Which we will be covering probably. Yes. I know that's not very convincing, but. Yeah, we should be.
It's covering our bases. Like, we intend to, but something could happen.
Yeah. Allegedly, we're covering.
Yeah. Rumoured to be covering. Keep an eye on the old Facebook and Twitter for that.
Yeah, England 2, Brazil 2. Not too much to talk about there. Neymar played, didn't look too good again. Even though he's moved to Barcelona.
Yeah, it was quite a boring game, I'd say. I mean, it's actually...
Rooney scored a massively deflected goal, but still got credit for scoring it for some reason.
It's similar to, you know, the way we were talking about the Champions League final being high in quality and low in drama. You know, I mean, every England game is high in drama, no matter what game it is, but...
It's just set up like
it,
that.
It was, I felt it was low in quality. I didn't feel... Brazil played some nice football at times, England didn't. But I felt it was just... I was watching the game, I was like, oh, Jesus, this is not enjoyable. Yeah. You know, a lot... Brazil's shooting was... Very poor from us again, I felt. Until Oscar hit the crossbar for their first goal.
Oh, yeah.
Remember.
Yeah, the first
fantastic goal effort. But
Fred with an acrobatic finish.
Quite a Fred.
I really got credit for the goal, which wasn't really a goal. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain scored a goal as well, which...
Keane was highly critical. Roy Keane in ITV was highly critical of him, apparently. I didn't exactly find out why. I don't research Roy Keane.
I think he was playing centre midfield for a while, which Keane didn't agree with. But Chamberlain scored, and ITV straight away were like, this is a goal we remember forever. It's like, really?
It's a friendly.
It's a friendly against Brazil. You already played them like 6 months ago.
Their coverage was much the same. They were like, one of the biggest moments in English footballing history, and they thought it was like, well, no one else remembers that, to be honest.
It was like, Roy Hodgson's bemoaned the amount of draws seeing the team have had lately, but he'd be quite happy with the draw here. It's like, well, yeah, maybe, but you're still not beating the big teams.
And playing well.
Yeah, I mean,
they didn't shut up shop. They didn't attack with style. They didn't show anything else other than
they showed anything better than they have done. You know,
over the last couple of months,
Gary Lineker was very critical after the Ireland game on Twitter, saying that the England team were playing stale football and 4-4-2 was outdated, and that it's, you know, you can't get away with playing that against the big teams. Now they did, admittedly, they did mix it up a bit, but you look and go, Rooney. There was a ball at one stage played into him, Rooney missed. It wasn't his fault. He had a header and it went wide. And you're kind of like, Rooney, I mean, is he even a threat anymore? Kind of, if you think, you know, okay, he might score a nice goal, but you look and go, he was the big name a couple of years ago. Not anymore.
No.
Welbeck, Sturridge, you're like...
Hey, Sturridge had a good end of the season.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's going to be scoring goals against Brazil, Italy, France, Spain, Germany.
No, but I feel when you're saying, does that mean... Is he a threat even anymore? I think he's always going to be a threat, but I think, I mean, in the same way that Torres is a threat to your goal.
Yeah, it just,
I think there's a little bit of a blotch on his name where you're like, you've not been the same, and you probably won't be.
I'd be like, in England, where the build-up to Euro 2012, I maybe stupidly said to people, I was like, I think England might actually, there's a chance they might go far. And they
football's coming. Hope keep going. I'll sing that in the back.
They might win. But, I said at least I think they might get to the final, because they have to get out of their group, have to beat France, then you know they're doing well. And they kind of, they sacked Capello, they brought in Hodgson. They brought in Hodgson, and then it was just this kind of dour football, and that hasn't changed in the time. Okay, they're winning matches, they're going to qualify because they have that talent, but you look and go, none of these players are world beaters. The likes of Gerard Lampard are going to be older. I said, yeah, okay, maybe Cleverley and Wilshere might bring a bit of more something creativity to the team if they play, but they're not playing because they're injured at the moment. That's the ongoing story with Wilshere. The truth is, he may not be playing interior sign because he keeps getting injured every second week, pretty much. And whether that's something to do with Arsenal or whether it's just him as a person, but I mean, he'd have to get over that before he becomes a top international footballer. Because suddenly it's like, once Jack Wilshere comes back, we'll be fine. It's like, well,
it's been saying that for a couple
this
of months.
This is United and Hungary's all over again.
Oh, God. Don't get me into that.
Anyway, we'll talk about Brazil more in the Confederations Cup.
Yep. But, possibly, allegedly.
That's the rumour.
Rumoured.
Hmm. We will go on. We'll have our end of season awards now.
Are we here?
We are here.
Some more self-indulgent stuff.
Yeah. Well, look, it's not. It's the awards. If you wanted to get involved, you can. You still can if you want to hear from us.
We did have feedback. Should we?
12thmanpodcast@hotmail.com and @12thmanpodcast.
We had old Carl Sherlock weighing in, commenting on our thing, saying goal of the season was RVP versus Villa, manager of the season was Steve Clarke, and signing of the season was RVP or Benteke. Let's see if any of us are going to agree with you or just criticise you horrendously and call you a bastard, man.
Let's say there is a good few here, so let's start off with best player.
Okay.
Declan Murray, if you want to take
the lead. Okay, well, I have a feeling we'll probably... Well, maybe not, but I'm going to say Gareth Bale.
Gareth Bale?
Yeah, I've got that as well.
Gotta go for Percy.
Van Persie, you're
going to believe that. Can I get that?
I mean, that's...
That's outstanding coming from a former Arsenal man, isn't it? I don't think he'd say that with a sour taste in the mouth.
Gareth Bale might have been good, but they didn't get top four, did they?
No, but I still think it's a good point. Doesn't necessarily mean he wasn't the best player.
He did win 24 points directly.
And won both the best player and
the best young player.
Best young player award.
So stick that in your pipe, Keynesy.
2-1. Good in.
Okay, well, if you have a best player, you have to have a worst player this season.
I have a feeling we might all agree. I think this is an easy target, but I'm going to start off. I'm going to go with Clint Hill.
Okay.
Oh, I know he's not by far, but I mean, for me watching games, I'm just going, like, for a player that's supposed to not be that bad, I just found every game, I was like, you just look so, you look so Gary, that's so Gary Caldwell of you.
Is Gary Caldwell your choice?
I did think of him, but I just moved slightly to the right of Clint Hill and went for Bisingua, because the man has won 2 Champions Leagues and didn't give a flying fuck.
Has he won 2?
He won the Champions League with Chelsea last season. Maybe not 2. Where did he win 2?
He won, I think.
He's won the Champions League. He's still won the fucking Champions League and just was terrible.
I've both written down, but Bisingua was in first place in my eyes.
Yes.
Nice.
I think
Clint Hill's
okay. I'm happy enough with that.
I think Clint Hill did try, but Bisingua, when he did play, it was just so bad.
Yeah,
he just didn't try. Okay, best player, worst player. We've had best signing.
I don't want to say 2.
Well, I have 3.
You have 3. See, I feel like
who's number one in your list?
I'm gonna say Robin van Persie.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I did have Robin van Persie up there because they won the league, and basically because of him. In terms of an investment, Christian Benteke cost
him just after
upwards to whatever it is, 15 million, and effectively just got them 40 million by them still being in the league,
which
I don't think would have happened.
Yeah,
and I also have honourable mention to Michu.
Yeah, Michu is there. I went for Van Persie though, because at the end of the day, he did win the league.
He won the league, and in your eyes, was the best player in the entire season. So
yeah, but I mean, just some of the things he did. You know, some of the things he did.
Yeah.
If there's the best,
I did have. Just in terms of a transfer, Swansea selling Joe Allen and Scott Sinclair for a lot of money for Swansea and getting in Michu, Key, there was De Guzman, Pablo Hernandez for that.
Yeah, but it was best size.
Yeah, it's pretty. No. I'm just.
Good idea. Pablo Hernandez has been very good.
I think he's been
all right. It's not worse signing, which I mean is what we're going
he's
next.
Not.
Worst signing this season?
Where do I go
is
from
it,
here?
Is it the one that all three of us said at the start of the season?
Yes, it is. It's Jackie Rodwell. Accompanied. I couldn't decide between himself. Well, he was like 15 million, was he?
He was. I'd say more than that.
Yeah,
really.
Probably something.
Oh, well, then he wins, was almost 15.
Then he wins by a mile. I was going to put Esteban Granero in there, just out of a sheer effect of not being. Not, he basically skipped a season.
But he didn't. Yeah, okay, fair enough. Sorry.
He did, he effectively skipped the season. Yeah, for a 9-10 million player.
He didn't really get the chance, though, towards the end of the season. He wasn't being picked.
He played
but
most
he was
the
first
but
half
he
was
poor.
Of the season.
He was
very
poor.
Yeah. And he was one of those signings where people thought, Jesus, they're after signing Esteban Granero.
Yeah.
You were excited.
I was
good.
Excited
to
see him. I'd seen him play before a few times, thought he looked good.
And now you're not.
No, now I hope he just never comes back into my life.
I did have Jack Rodwell, because he was crap. Scott Sinclair was... didn't exist this season. They signed him and then pushed him into a black hole or something.
Yeah, I feel more bad for him though. I feel
yeah,
bad
no,
about
see, I don't think
well
I don't think
didn't.
Yeah, see that's the thing that he wouldn't get it. Chris Samba as well cost them.
Yeah, he's on
almost 1.5 million
he's on the shortlist
for each point that they gained after they signed him, which is insane.
Point out that we've made it before, it's been QPR heavy. Everything
best can be distributed amongst the top few teams. Worst is just QPR.
Who have you gone for then as the overall worst?
Sambo, I don't care.
I think Sinclair, yeah, as you said, is unlucky because he didn't get a chance. It's not his fault, but he was a bad signing.
He's a bad signing.
Jack Rodwell had a chance, made a lot of mistakes early in the season. But then did go missing for a long time with your injury. So
yeah.
I think. But also came back for the cup final and was marking Watson when he scored the goal.
So
came back just in time to ruin the season.
But
you had your chance. You said your chance, right? I'm not going to give the Rodwell. I know we said Samba's there. So I'm going to give the Adebayor.
Oh yeah,
awful signing. Scored 2 goals in all season. Costs a lot of money. Yeah. On a lot of money. Never plays well. Mm. And does play a lot.
Mm. That's a good point. Yeah. No, I'll give that to you.
Yeah. Damn straight.
Well played, sir.
There you go. That's the bile, the tang of anger in the mouth from a former Arsenal man.
I'm glad to see the pack of him.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see him out of the league. I don't want to see him next year.
If they can get rid of him, they probably would.
Exactly.
Most improved player of the season.
I've got Trey. I'm going to stick with my original gut and I'll bring these up later if you guys haven't mentioned them. I'm going to stick with Darren Gibson, a player I was thought was utterly hopeless before.
Yeah,
For me personally, I despise the man. I thought he was lazy. I thought he didn't have the physicality for
the game. He looked a bit overweight.
I thought he was too fat. I thought he was lazy. I didn't think he was up for... But he's on side of everything. I was like, he'd be back up to... You know, he'd be back up for a couple of years. We might see him make a few appearances. I actually think he'd... Very important to their season. I thought he worked fantastically well in the middle with Fellaini and Osman. I thought he was, you know, one of the main reasons for their decent enough form this year.
I have another young United player, Johnny Evans.
I think Johnny Evans
come a long way from the player who last season was being terrible and getting sent off while they lost 6-1 to Man City at home.
I still think Evans can be a liability, but I agree with what you said. And also, it's perfect timing that I get to mention. Soon we will upload a video of Johnny Evans in Dublin hanging out with one of my friends, sitting in my friend's in a wheelchair. He sits in his wheelchair, decides to pull a wheelie, and falls right out of the wheelchair backwards, tumbles over. It's a great old video. Top lad, Johnny Evans. Top lad.
Two Irish lads in a way, you know, Northern Irish.
I think bringing the divide together.
Yes.
Oh. Solving the peace.
Who are you going to pick? Adebayor again? He doesn't help.
He's improved a lot. I think the Gibson point. I think Gibson was better in the 6 months that he was there last season. I don't think he's been as effective this season. I think he was really good when he first went to Everton for those few months. But I do agree he's had a good season and he was part of their team. But I think he was probably better in that. Maybe it's just because he was so good then that he's been, I'll compare him to that, but he was really good for those, whatever, was it 14 games he played for Everton and didn't lose a game in that period. Evans was a good show, but I don't think he played as much as he did the season before, which is a strange one. I think Ferdinand the Vintage did actually play quite a lot. I went for Raphael.
Because I think he's played,
he's nailed down the right back slot, but he's also got to that stage where he's reliable and he's scoring a few goals now.
He had a couple of up-down games, especially towards the end of the season, where he had a blip here.
When he swapped with Fabio.
sister-like gag. I'd be Mary Kate and Ashley, whichever one you want. Maybe
you keep the Kelwood, that wouldn't work.
No, they're not I'd be willing to give you that one at least.
You're right there, yeah.
Very improved, considering.
Absolutely, yeah.
So the season before.
If somebody improves, then somebody has to regress.
It's the way the world works.
Who has regressed this season? Declan Murray.
Take this, Shankin. I'm going with Tommy Vermeulen. I think he's had an atrociously bad season, considering it must be a year and a half back when myself and yourself talked about how detrimental he was to Arsenal. Rue was critical of him, and we said, no, he's Arsenal's Village. They need him, okay?
You could also say Koscielny's improved a lot. I know we didn't mention him. He was good in his first season, certainly.
But
for Mal, definitely great show.
Oh, he's been and you know, not just with the injury at the end of the season, he came back earlier, was very poor.
But he lost his place, and rightly so. Even though he was captain, and Wenger, that was a bold choice to make, I think, because he was captain. But he decided if Gschelle and the Emirates are two are better playing better, then you can't. No, look, chances are from Alan probably back next season. Although he's captain, so when he gets sold, actually.
I also want to briefly say Johnny Onesca. I know he hasn't played much, but
doesn't get to play as much. But maybe that's
part
what,
of it, you know.
Who's up?
Well, I have three here, but I think I know which one is the most. I have Joe Allen down because he was very good to what
Swansea
did, season. And then
pretty poor.
Papi Cisse, who I think came in and was just like everyone loved him, and he was just scoring loads of goals and great goals as well.
Mm.
But I don't think he, because he still did score a few goals.
Yeah.
Whereas Nikita Jalovic was pretty much the same thing.
Great show.
And then wasn't.
Yeah, has had a very bad season.
Yeah. Just, what, like 2 or 3 goals or something.
Looks like last conference completely.
Yeah. I think that's a good show, actually. Yeah. Check Tiote.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him once this season.
I've seen him. He's been bad. He's been failing.
Yeah.
I've also had Valencia on the list.
Yeah,
he's been absolute rubbish.
Yeah, he's very
and Adebayor because he actually played well last season, which is the most annoying team because he was good and he was bad when they bought him. And he was great and
this is why I love this thing. It throws up stuff like this where you've got this ongoing like inner feud with Adebayor.
With Adebayor.
It's good. It's working.
You could take him. You'd be grand.
right, best goal.
Oh, nice high point of the season. Mine's a bit gimmicky, but I have a feeling one of you may agree with me. Despite all the amazing goals there were in the season, I'm going to pick Larry Gremmie's goal against Wigan. And it's a bit gimmicky because, look, there was a lot involved in it. It was a fantastic finish, a good break. But it added to me the fact that there was like doves flying around as he went to strike the ball.
It
was
just fireworks in there.
Yeah, it looked like one of those movie-esque moments where if you had a high def, I'm sure Sky had a high def cam, if they could have put slow motion from the right angle, he could have like jumped in the air, doves flying around him, and he buried it. You know, good goal though.
It was. And it is my goal of the season as
well.
Yes! Because I just thought, every single time I saw that goal, I just went, oh, look at that. That's incredible. Just from any camera angle, every single time I saw it, I knew what was coming. You know, 3 months down the line, I saw it again. I just thought, wow, that's an incredible goal.
Mine was more gimmicky because I wanted to theatrically describe on the podcast, but I enjoyed the goal.
There was a lot of really good goals, but that was the one that just stood out.
Gareth Bale scored a lot of good goals this season.
Against everyone.
Gareth Bale, 88 minute, I think. Maybe even later. West Ham.
Out of absolutely
nowhere. Gets the ball. I think he kind of flicks it by Matt Jarvis. Just says, I'm going to hit this. And hits it. To win 3-2
and it smacks it. I nearly put that in, but I decided I wanted to talk about the doves. that's why I put so many goals.
Just that he scored himself that you could have chosen. I mean, the goal against Norwich was unbelievable. Even the goal on the last day against Southampton was incredible.
Which was brilliant,
You know what? Cameron Jerome scored an absolute beauty. I give him a huge amount of credit because I don't think he's in any way that good
a
player.
It was a bit more of a, I'm going to hit this. I think Bale's one knew
this.
Bale knew what he was doing. I think he just. But the one with Bale was that so late on, and he just kind of flicked it by Jarvis and said, I'm going to hit it. And out of nowhere. And I was just like, crap, what a strike. Because I remember sitting there watching that going, hoping Spurs would drop points, going, bollocks.
Honorable mention should go to Van Persie, which Kat Sherlock mentioned because it was incredible.
So we're not calling him a bastard man, we're going to agree on
the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
bad film,
but works well for a goal.
Bad film, good goal.
There we go.
Okay, moving on after some heat debate there, I think. Most important player for their team this season.
I have a feeling we're all going to say this. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think you guys will back me up on this. Benteke. I mean there's a lot, but I feel without Benteke they'd be down.
He scored almost half of their goals this
season. But I mean I'm sure they'd have someone else instead of him, you know. A lot of hypothetical in it but just genuinely without him they'd be down.
It's a good point.
There'd be money troubles and Lambert would be sacked and you know they relied on him so much.
Yeah, exactly. I know that there's that temptation to say Robin van Persie or Gareth Bale. I'm sure those were the three that went through
Bale was the one I think was originally everyone's
mind. But at the end of the day, they didn't get fourth, Spurs. So whatever Bale achieved, although brilliant, as good as he was, they didn't get what they set out to do. So, like, you can't be that important. I think United would have had a better chance of winning the league without Van Persie, as Aston Villa would have had of staying up without Benteke.
I'd have to argue with you on the basis of the award, is that an important player of the team doesn't necessarily mean that they can achieve. I don't think Aston Villa's aim at the start of the season was to just scrape by.
They would have been able to hire.
So, in that case, Benteke didn't achieve his goal.
No,
if that's your basis for I was going to give it to Bale because he was Tottenham's most important player, and by far
he was. Yeah, yeah.
He can win that award. He can have Tottenham's most important player and give him.
But I did.
He was they won the cup, and you could base a lot of that on the way he played.
No, I don't think it's based on aims. I just think without Benteke, Villa would be down, and all that stuff would be brought up now. You know. New manager, you know, dodgy position, you know, need a couple of experienced players to get the better championship.
No, so I do. Like, I do think Benteke is wonderful. I'd give my one to Bale.
Yeah, that's fine.
Fine, it doesn't count.
No, it's the last show, guys. Yeah. No.
The best piece of out of character skill this season?
I picked
the Paul McShane Award for best piece of out of character skill. Sorry, I have to.
It is his proper name, you know? A McShaney. I think. I'm going to sound like Tony Pulis here, but I'm going to go with Matt Loughton for his spectacular volley. Because Tony Pulis said himself, he's never done that before. That's not fair. That shouldn't have counted.
Yeah.
Which is why he sacked. No, I think it was one of those moments where, like, you know, if that was your mate in the park, you'd be like, go on, shoot. Ah, no.
I didn't think
he'd score.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was.
Actually,
it was great.
I'm sensing a pattern here because I have Matt Loughton as well.
Yeah.
Because... for 37 games of the season, he was part of a Villa defence that couldn't defend. And then for 1 second, he was just scoring one of the most ridiculous goals.
He did score a lovely other goal. Yeah, against Swansea, wasn't it?
Okay,
yeah,
fine. For 36 games.
but he's also smashing in on goals to beat the band.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I do also have Jamie Carragher, who I don't think... I've very rarely seen shoot. And... probably never from that far out, and it was just an incredible shot.
And we all
know that.
Look, you can be as critical as you want, but if you read Cara, the self-indulgent autobiography, in which he tells you, I can shoot and score, I used to score loads of goals, you would know, you idiots.
Fine, it's not out of character, I take it back.
No, give the award, he needs one.
I've gone, I maybe just a short-sighted, because I can't remember as much, but going for Laurent Koscielny's goal against Newcastle the last day, because the way he kind of flicks it past,
that's fair enough.
You know, he kind of turns, follows the ball in, and hits it. I kind of what sold it to me was afterwards when Gary Neville was talking. He goes, "Let's face it, if that was Van Persie doing it, or if that was if that was Bale doing it, we wouldn't stop talking about it."
Yeah.
He goes, "Just because it was defender doing it, which is a strange one because you think it'd be even more out. It is more out of character for a defender to do it." And he was kind of sold to me. I was like, well, he is. He's completely out of character from Koscielny. And the way he follows the ball like a striker and sees it, watches it, hits it, and we get lucky at the finish, but because it hits
his
face.
I'm glad you brought it up because it's our exact argument of sensation versus actual quality. Mm. You know, and it wasn't a sensation because it's not a sensational player. You know, but it's great. I absolutely agree. Yeah, it's a fantastic goal.
Yeah. But there is that similar thing, like a similar goal, someone following the ball, Andy Carroll. Who wouldn't have been
over the shoulder? Yeah.
Wouldn't be known for that sort of thing. That's all
Ibrahimovic. I was like, no
ponytail, one goal.
Yeah, big man. Good touch for a big man.
Yeah, Peter Crouch. Worst pundit of the year.
I've moved these around, but yeah, worst pundit of the year. I think obvious mention goes to Lauro. I've brought him up 20 to 30 times in the last
not highest
couple of episodes.
What's the Spanish for shoes, Gary?
Oh, no. The
big shoes.
For big that honourable mention has to go to that moment. I also lobbed in the very brief appearance of Harry Redknapp in BBC,
which
was terrible.
That was...
I know, I'm not saying McCarthy was terrible.
He wasn't terrible, but Harry Redknapp was poor. Again, it was the usual. They were like,
he should have done it. Leaving out with Cara window as a gimmick.
Yeah.
Ah, I wouldn't agree with that. That's the chair. Harry, you don't even have a club. What are you talking about? Rudolph?
Yeah, well, I kind of have There's like two sides of the coin for this one, because Robbie Savage was terrible and has no knowledge of football.
How did I forget Robbie Savage?
But he is entertaining.
He is incredibly entertaining. Michael Owen made some decent points, but he is dull. And I have it written here, you can... It's in capitals, and it has 5 U's.
And 2 L's.
And 2 L's, short. Because he's so dull.
Oh, I love Robbie Savage. I forgot about, I don't know how I forgot about Robbie Savage. I think I deleted that part of my brain that has that sound in it. Let's just like get rid of that part, remove it from my brain.
Don't like that. That lobotomy really works.
Robotomy.
Robbie Savage.
That's gotta go.
The worst one, in my opinion, is it's not Robbie Savage and it's not Mark Lawrence. Stuart Mann, that's beyond that match of the day. Alan Shearer.
Alan Shearer is
absolutely nothing exciting. Yeah. He doesn't have a clue about anybody who's coming from abroad. He has
Ben
no understanding of anything.
See Ben Arfa comments.
Yeah. He doesn't seem to understand some of the very basics of football, which is incredible for a man who scored so many goals.
And he's a cunt, according to Craig Bellamy in Slate's autobiography. I'm not sure if you saw that, Bellamy. Have a look that up. Although it wasn't. That word wasn't written, it was C*T, but I feel you're all old enough to hear this word.
Can't.
But apparently he asked Alan Shearer to fight him or something a couple of years back.
Well,
and Shearer...
Newcastle together, yeah.
Huh?
They would have been at Newcastle together.
Yeah, I think it was at a time when... I don't think it was when he was managing. He came out and criticised them for some reason.
No, Bellamy wouldn't have been there when Shearer was managing.
Yeah, no, but it may not... Like, Bellamy still texted him in that time.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if Bellamy was still at the club. But basically said, this is typical of you blaming everyone else when you're poor. Shearer blamed the defence for something.
Why would
you not fight
him?
But apparently
on
a separate instance, apparently Shearer... I'm not exactly sure if he squared up to Lualua, but had a go at him. Lualua was like, I'll kill you. And Shearer walked away. And Bellamy thought he was an arsehole for... Look it up.
Fair enough.
Worst decision.
So he's a bad pundit and a C*T.
Worst decision of the season, lads? This could be a player, team, manager, referee.
I'm going to even think a little bit further outside the box and say the decision I was most unhappy with this year. Meet you not in the PFAs. That was mine. That was the decision this year that upset me. Couldn't think of a lot of other decisions. That one upset me.
Upset you deeply.
Yeah.
I can see you're troubled by it.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Just like Deco, I could not think of very many. So I just wrote every single thing Harry Redknapp did.
Well.
I actually just wrote those words. I didn't write everything that he did.
He signed gambling addict Andros Townsend.
He loaned him.
He signed, he signed him in. He got Jermaine Ginas in, who scored a few... Two important goals. He brought in Samba, who cost ridiculous amounts of money and probably bankrupted the club in years to come.
Is still only on 0.4% fitness.
He was better when he was unfit.
Yeah.
I've gone for the worst of the season was a lot of Tottenham stuff. It's Tottenham not signing a decent forward in general.
Yeah, no, it's a good.
We have to scratch
show.
This award.
it's
so hard to remember anything.
Buying Lewis Holtby, good signing, but you need a forward.
Yeah.
It's like. The fall kid will score goals, but he can't play every game. And Adebayor just isn't a footballer.
I have to get him in there every time.
The really harsh streak. That's the next year award.
Actually, I'll just look at my next. That's an overrated player.
All right, fair enough.
Overrated player.
I'm going by starter. See, I wanted to think of more, but I got lazy and left it with Granero from the start of the season. Me. Personally, I overrated him. I said I was excited to see him. I thought he was a good player and he was terrible. I was very wrong.
Ruto?
Dembaba. I don't see why.
You weren't solving that one alright, yeah.
I just don't get why is he considered so good. I don't.
I
don't get it. Also, kind of moving past the player thing, but we mentioned it already, Roberto Martinez.
Yeah,
I don't.
Very afraid. Don't see the appeal.
Don't see why. He's considered so good. I like him. He's a very nice man.
But he's not a great manager.
Anyway. He's a good picnic companion.
Yeah. You don't want to manage your football team.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Managing your sandwiches away from ants. Not managing your team.
It'd be too fancy and foreign.
Fancy. Nice.
I wasn't going for it. I only have one name written down. I do feel a little bit harsh. It's sometimes hard to think these overrated players. I've gone for Aaron Lennon. And I do think he has had a good season, a better season. But I think he gets a lot of credit for a lot of work that any player could, with a bit of pace could do.
Run?
He runs to the side and lets Bale cut in, basically, and pulls the defender. Is that any better than what Walcott could do? Or, well, maybe it's not fair to say Sturridge, but
same player.
Joe Cole, any of these players. I mean, he just kind of runs away from the play and lets Gareth Bale open it up. And I do think he has had a good season and does an important job, but I think he's overrated in that sense.
He does get a lot of praise for it.
For a job that isn't that difficult.
He's the human equivalent of throwing a rock somewhere to distract someone to get past him. That's exactly, like, you know.
he could just sit on a deck chair in the middle of the pitch and go, look over there!
Yeah. If you don't think you're allowed deck chairs in the pitch, you probably couldn't do that.
Yeah. This plan is...
It's difficult. Overrated player, obviously, so kind of an underrated player. Who have you gone for, Declan Murray?
I don't think I went for a player there, actually. I think I missed out on that category. Brilliant. And you're going to pass it on, I think.
Well played.
You lose.
Can't think of anything on the fly, no.
I'll
come back to you.
I got two.
We'll come back to you
last week.
We'll come back to
you.
Underrated player.
Morgan Schneiderlin, who I think has had I actually thought
about Morgan Schneiderlin.
I just think he's been wonderful for
Southampton. But my Morgan Schneiderlin thoughts went to Gaston Ramirez and thought, he's actually had a poor season. He hasn't been overrated, but it could be a bad sign because he costs so much money. Interesting. Is that all?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I have one sort of now if you'd like me to weigh in.
Yeah, go.
Is it Morgan Schneiderlin?
It's Ricky Lambert, considering I thought he was a very, very, very championship player. Was that right?
I don't know if he was on the right, though. I think people always expect him to score in a way. I don't think he was underrated. I don't think he has been underrated throughout the season because he's got a lot of praise for the goals he scored. I think got a lot of praise for
him. Maybe, but I think I didn't rate him that well, to be honest. And it's off the cuff, so I'm sorry.
Got four, two, and I'm actually going to start off. I think Cazorla, in a way, was underrated because although he does get a lot of praise for what he does, he does an incredible amount of work. I think he was the highest assist maker in the Premiership or something.
And he's not that classically well-known Spanish midfielder who's coming from the Spanish squad and doing brilliantly.
But players like Silva even seem to get more praise. Yeah. I think Silva's had a terrible season.
We've missed out on
him. I don't think he deserves the award. I put Phil Jones in there as well because I think Phil Jones doesn't get credit for the work that he did do.
Best player ever.
Steve Keane said he was going to be amazing. So
he does do a very good job, but I've gone for one that a little bit out there. Claudio Jacobo, West Brom. He's had a really good season at West Brom. And
he has had a very, very good season.
He missed, I think, 2 months at one stage, and this is when West Brom went on a really slippery slope, and they brought him back when he was still kind of injured, and he actually went off injured in that game. But you could see the influence he had in that West Brom midfield, and I think just nobody ever seems to mention him ever when they talk about West Brom. They talk about Lukaku and Shane Long.
It's a good shout.
They do go under the radar.
Very good player.
You know, he's had a good season. And I also think Mark Swarcer, to a certain extent, had a very good season.
Yeah.
But he didn't get a lot of credit. Mm. And it looks like he could be leaving Fulham as well.
Mm.
I'm going to give the Jakob overall. The Rob Earnshaw goal scoring award, which basically means that he'll score goals but won't score goals again.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Adam Lafondre. He's got 12.
He's 12.
12 in the Premier League.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
You know, there is the thing of he most likely be playing in the Championship next season.
Starting games, he was coming on as this so-called super sub effect wears off after a while. Solskjaer was a nowhere near this bloke. Solskjaer was at a much higher level. I'm not sure. I don't know. For me,
is a tough one to pick because you have to pick somebody who scored.
He's a player that's gonna fade anyway. He's gonna go back and probably 10, 12 in the Championship, but he won't be in the 20s.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I have Ricky Lambert because I don't really see him scoring as many goals as he did. I don't think he's going to be terrible.
He's not going to be Rob Earnshaw.
No, but no one will live up to that.
Michael Bridges did it as well.
It's in the same line of mentions as Stephen McPhail.
I went for Ricky Lambert as well. Maybe it's a bit unfair, but I just can't see him scoring that many goals again. Yeah. You could also maybe make the argument that Mitro won't get as many goals because people are more
But I don't think that's what the award is about. I mean, the award is for
players who won't score as many goals.
Rob Earnshaw-esque. And
the award is for players who just out of nowhere happen to score goals this season.
And for me, that's Lafondre. I think Lafondre's got to be...
All right, moving on. Anyway, the next one is the renamed
Yeah, recently renamed.
Recently renamed. It was Arsenal of the Year last time we did
that. Does that mean it's a new looking trophy? Like, it doesn't look like a shield anymore.
No, no.
It looks like a Bayern, the FB Pokal massive chalice.
No, see, the thing is, it used to look like an arsehole. Now it looks like who it's been rebranded
and
as.
And it's been called?
And it is.
The Luis Suarez Award for Excellence in Arseholery.
Yes.
And so now it just looks like an arsehole with Suarez's face carved in.
I was thinking more, it's like, it looks like just a silver...
Doesn't matter what it looks like. What matters
because
is who you've given it to.
Doesn't look like anything.
Got caught between, of course, Joey Barton. Still technically...
Having a go at him and all that.
Yeah, I thought
stuff.
That was out of order.
Yeah.
Colin, who was it you called? Silva, a man lady, and got like...
Thiago Silva.
Yeah, he got disciplined for that and stuff. I feel this award is special, alright? I feel it can go further than just those 20 teams or any team. And I think Piers Morgan deserves one, if not a replica one, for just...
An honorary one,
yeah,
special merit award.
For the massive bag of dicks he's been this year. And the lice at the moment, I'm not sure if we mentioned this last week, did you guys hear what Van Persie did to him?
No.
Sent him, you know, he's Piers Morgan has had this hashtag all
Van
since
Purse Strings.
Van Purse Strings, right? It's not funny.
Yeah, I've heard this, yeah.
He's an arsehole. And Van Persie sent Piers Morgan. He got a box in New York, Piers Morgan, where he fucking lives. And he opened it up, you know, from Van Purse Strings. It's a signed picture saying, "Cheers for all your support, Pierce mate. You know, just wanted you to get a nice capture moment of Van Persie lifting the trophy with a nice little personal message of basically like, you're an idiot." Good stuff.
Good Samaritan award for Roman Persie as well. Your arsehole of the year,
Well, this is a bit of an obscure one, but I've given it to Gravity for truly... taking out Ian Hart that one
time. Ian Hart, and was it Blackman in that game as well?
Yeah.
Who fell over.
Mostly because I just wanted to bring that moment up in the awards and I couldn't give it
Ian
any
Hart
other point.
Ian Hart casually falling over in the middle of the pitch. Losing his balance.
Yeah.
I forgot about that moment.
And once he stopped giggling, you can give us
yours. Oh, God. I've gone, wait, you could probably... hazard a guess who mine's going to be. It's a man I don't really like. Rio Ferdinand. For two reasons. The first of all is the whole pulling out of the England team.
Yeah.
And then going off to Qatar to do media work and saying, oh, I have to do this fitness thing. And then, you know, kind of saying, oh, I want to play in the England team. I want to play. Why didn't they call me up a great defender? Kind of bigging himself up, even though he's kind of past it. And then retiring overall in the end. And also... the sarcastic clapping the referee in the Champions League last 16.
That was very
after Nani had been sent off and after the match, sarcastic clapping in the referee's face. If I was that referee, I would have straight away red card. You cannot do something like that. It's up there with spitting on somebody. It's that disrespectful. It's so cheap and it's just pathetic. That's what it is, pathetic. And I know the guy over the last few years is just he's been a fantastic defender, but he just seemed less enchanted by the world of football, and he wants to be in the media, not controversial as such, but he wants to be in the media, he wants to be popular. And I was like, just shut up, stop going on about how good a footballer you are and then retire from England, you know. Anyway, that's my arsehole of the year. Best manager of the year, following on,
I actually found this quite hard. I wanted to say Ferguson to give it to him out of last time and stuff, but I'm not a PFA Ryan Giggs type incident. I wanted to also agree with the person that wrote in and say Clark. I thought they had a dip at the end of the season though, so I'm going to go with Laudrup, considering
they didn't have a dip at the end of the season.
No, listen for a second, considering where, you know, a lot of the times you'd see a manager replace, you know, Brendan Rodgers brought Swansea up, did pretty well with them, had them going well in the Premier League, playing nice football. A lot of the times you'd see a new manager come in and that end and the team struggle after that.
Yeah,
I know the personnel is similar.
From Norwich.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Norwich is a perfect example. I mean, the change of managers has led them to, they're kind of looking all over the place now. I thought he did a great job. I thought he won the cup, and in the same effect of Wigan getting relegated, there's always that danger, and he achieved enough points early in the season to let them have that dip at the end after the cup. I thought, for me, eliminate some others, and he won it.
Yeah. I think it's kind of unfair for you to be saying that if you were to give it to Alex Ferguson, it's just out of sentiment.
He didn't win the league.
Because...
that's not that good.
Are you going to give it to Alex Ferguson?
Yeah.
Get on with it then. I agree. I was trying to...
jig it up. I do have Steve Clarke as well because, I mean, what a ridiculously good job he's done. You called for his
head. Called for his head early on. I didn't actually listen, said he would be sacked.
Listen to the last podcast for all that. That's fun.
I do actually have Steve Clarke as best manager written down there, but I've already mentioned something. Give the Boas. I mean, did finish fifth, and I don't think many other managers would have came in and finished fifth.
Okay. And there was a lot of talk at the start of the season of him, like,
what he's doing.
Being chanted at, saying you don't know what you're doing. Yeah, it's a good share.
Surprise package of the season, could be a player, could be a team.
I'm going to mix it up here. I'm going to go Ricky Lambert first of all. Again,
you got to pick one. You got to pick Ricky Lambert.
No,
and now we're going to move on from you.
No, as I said, didn't expect him to do that well. And Rafa Benitez, I expect him to crash and burn.
Good share.
Yeah, good point. Good
and
share, yeah.
I didn't expect him to win a European trophy at the start of the year, so.
Yeah, good, good.
Fair enough. I have West Brom here because who expected him to finish, what was it, 8th in the end? Mm-hmm. Just did a great job.
Yeah. And West Brom are mine too, I can't argue with that. So,
cool. Rafa Benitez is a very good shout.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The wildly fluctuating form award, I suppose.
Yeah, it's not really an award. It's like a banner we stick to your house.
Could be team or player again.
I was thinking Walcott, but that's mostly because I associate that with him. I actually think he's been better this year than most years. I associate that with him. I still
he's
think
improved season on season the last 4 or 5 seasons.
I still think he should be playing at a higher standard, but I'm giving it to Cisse, Pep Cisse. I think he drove me mental this year with the way he carried on.
Yeah.
Frustrated the hell out of me, I have to be honest. Can't stand
good,
it.
Good show.
I have Wigan down just because
they went down
win the FA Cup and get relegated, and they looked very good at times and then looked absolutely woeful, and the same can be said for Lauren Koscielny. Those are my two.
I do think Koscielny's actually had a very solid season in general.
Well, I think he's looked like really, really good at times and then not quite so.
I can't think of many games he's not looked very good at.
Yeah,
I think the ones he's had look very good in though. The Bayern Munich one, the Newcastle one, for example.
The Newcastle one at the end,
quite good.
I wouldn't say wildly fluctuating, but certainly not constantly brilliant. That's not a good award.
No,
not constantly brilliant, but again, not constantly terrible. Like he's not that kind of player who's going to constantly be brilliant anyway.
All right, here, do you want to hear? scribbling them out.
I've got
just because Arsenal biased.
Yeah, I've got two in there.
That'll be or, isn't it?
Is it?
No.
Is it Koscielny? You're just gonna dismiss my theory and then.
They're actually two. They're two teams. Fulham.
But I'm should actually be the Fulham award for
I'm gonna actually go to Stoke because they started the season so well. They started so well, but their first half of the season were very good. They beat Liverpool around Christmas time. And pretty much after that they lost every game and somehow managed to stay up.
Yeah.
It was incredible. They just kept losing.
There was that run of just like, well, Stoke lost again.
How are they ahead of West Brom? West Brom won the last 4. Yeah, so I'll give it to Stoke. I think Fulham, but it's kind of expected out of them. Unrealistic expectations at the start of the season, or
that was
the Ali McLeod.
Ali McLeod award for unrealistic expectations
after he claimed Scotland would win the World Cup. I went for, it's a bit of a double whammy here, it's Redknapp, but it's people's expectations of Redknapp and his expectations of the team
and his expectations of himself.
And
the chairman.
No, I think people were like, Harry's gone in there, he's gonna good time Charlie boy them up and they're gonna stay up and they're gonna be best mates, and really they weren't, they all didn't like each other. And I thought, you saw his contrast where he was like, if I can get Zamora, Remy, I can do all this, and then after, these players aren't good enough. It's like you took the job.
Good point. Is it Harry Redknapp as well for you?
No, I think I've given him enough stick. Brendan Rodgers did say that Liverpool could finish second,
yeah,
which was silly.
He actually said they could finish in the top two.
Yeah,
which was
that's true.
A roundabout way of saying, wait for the league.
Yeah, it's a very Rodgers way to say things.
And also, Alex Ferguson said that Phil Jones could be the best player ever for United, which we've picked apart before.
He also said that Ashley Williams could kill Robin Van Persie.
That's true. That's a strange...
I'm not sure that's an expectation.
That's a strange expectation. Like, do you know what? I think someone might kill Van Persie today.
I've gone for Tony Fernandez at the kind of the start of the season, saying this is our season, we're going to push on, and you know we could be finishing in the top half of the table. Yeah, well,
didn't work out that way. Yeah.
Didn't quite work out that way. Mm-hmm. I've also gone just for a laugh saying that Tottenham fans think they can get in the top four. It's never going to happen.
Look at this Arsenal
smug Arsenal.
But even
I know who's going on the Suarez Award next year.
Even with, you know, 5 games to go and they're 7 points clear, they still managed to mess it up. Still. That's incredible.
That's honest and impartial hosting.
You're a nice guy. Do you want to take any digs at Everton while
here? No, I don't.
Rangers are in the third division. I'll just laugh at that for a second.
Sorry.
The only respectable
second division now. Yeah.
I'm the only respectable non-ITV person here.
San Marino, a crap lad, don't you? Little old San Marino.
Little old San Marino, Ireland. Right. Well, that's the award for the most part. I'm just going to do the team of the year now.
Yeah. Well, we did have an honorary date.
Oh, another mention or two.
For the Mr. Pulis Naked Headbutt Award for Descent, which we decided amongst us, when we were talking about before, went to Malumbu for his little
whinge. Hissy fit, yeah.
Hissy fit. And yeah, I don't know. We had Sunderland were competing in there with their 3 reds in the Canyons, like seven games.
7 games, yeah.
I don't think any of them were Carmel. And runner-up, Alan
Pardew. Gardner got 2, I think, though, didn't he?
Yeah. Alan Pardew shoving the linesman and trying to have a laugh about it after. So, well done, Christophe Malumbu.
It was just basically a way to bring up those.
Yeah, we wanted to talk about them.
Yeah, forgot about Pardew pushing the forfeit. I forgot that.
Oh, also the award, the Pulis Naked Headbutt, is from when he allegedly headbutted James Beattie on James Beattie while naked in the showers in the Stoke dressing room.
Lovely.
So I would imagine there was a double headbutt going on there.
Okay, team of the year. We'll start with our goalkeepers. Declan Ryan, your goalkeeper?
I went with someone you mentioned earlier. I went with Schwarzer.
Okay, good shout, yeah. Interesting. I think you mentioned team might be one of the more consistent.
I thought the rest of my team is a bit bland, but I'm happy with that one. That's sure.
You don't need to be, you know. It's the best prompt. Yeah. Who have you gone for?
Hugo Lloris.
I've also gone for Hugo Lloris.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting that no one went for De Gea, considering he was in both PFA and BBC and all that.
But Joe Hart conceded the least goals in the league.
But he was terrible.
Man City conceded the least goals in the league, although he played most of the games. Do you know who's second least in the league?
No.
Arsenal. No, you would not have thought of that.
No.
See, Paul's doing a good job.
This is so
But anyway, Lloris was good.
Spurs, no!
No, but he was very good, very quick off his line.
Yeah.
Not afraid to come out and play the ball out.
He helped them play the way, that pressing game that
he wanted.
But also, I think one of the most impressive things that he did was just taking Brad Friedel out of
and
that.
Brad Friedel was amazing for us.
Brad Friedel was brilliant.
You're right,
soon as Lloris was in there, there was no call for Brad Friedel to be.
Brad Friedel, he gets Norwich very early in the season, made 2 wonderful saves.
Mm. And they still managed to lose. Or they drew, actually.
They drew that. That was around the time they were dropping points.
Yeah.
Right back.
Are we going to go full back 4? I think it'll save time.
Okay, full back 4.
Full back 4. I had my standard Zabaleta in there. I imagine everyone followed in line with that.
I went with Zabaleta, but you could have easily just gone for Raphael.
Yeah, I think Zabaleta was better, though. I think I don't think Zabaleta actually put a foot wrong all season. I think Raphael had a couple of here and there games.
Zabaleta get himself sent off?
He did, yeah.
He put one foot wrong.
I think it was 2-footed.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He put 1 foot wrong by putting his foot
in. Second foot coming in,
I put Zabaleta, Jagielka, Vertonghen and Baines.
Zabaleta, Jagielka, Vertonghen and Baines.
Zabaleta, Ivanovic, Vertonghen and Baines.
Yeah, okay, I've got the exact same deal of Jagielka, Vertonghen and Baines in there as well, along with Zabaleta.
I think Ivanovic is a good shot. I think he probably has.
I struggled quite a lot with the second. Vertonghen came to me immediately, but with the second centre back, I struggled quite a lot. But I went for Ivanovic just because he scored a couple of goals and was all in all pretty solid and chewable.
As for Tomlin, had a better season than Vermaelen did in his first season.
Stop bringing it up.
Because you were critical of him that first season. And I was just thinking, they're both, like, you know, Belgium, both came from Holland. You wonder if Vertonghen will fall down that slippery rope from Holland. And in 2 years' time, we'll be sitting here saying,
the captain,
most
hopefully
not.
Anyway.
Midfield.
We've had to go with the standard 4-4-2, just as
a Hodgson board 4-4-2.
Yeah, we might mix it up eventually. I've gone with Mata, Michu, Fellaini and Bale.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fair enough shout. Yeah. I have two of them. Ooh. I have Mata and Bale in there. Okay. I have Michael Carrick, because he was very good. And one that you probably won't agree with, but I couldn't think of another right midfielder, Theo Walcott.
Oh, no.
Awful.
Atrocious.
Awful choice.
Yeah.
It's Orla.
Yeah.
He's not a right midfielder.
But Bale's not exactly a centre. I know he played
left midfielder.
He's in the left.
Oh, Mata in the centre?
Yeah.
No, Mata can't play centre midfield. Get out of here. Leave immediately.
Well, that's why we could have went for 4-2-3, but I've gone for Cazorla, as I just said.
Yeah.
Carrick, so he's had a very good season. Put Steven Gerrard in there, because he played, I think, 35 games a season before he got shoulder surgery, and he played again every minute. And he got 9 goals and 9 assists, which is quite good.
He was very good, though.
Standard.
I don't think he was.
I mean, if you contribute nearly 20 of your team's goals directly from goals and assists, is quite impressive. And obviously, I've gone for Gareth Bale on the other side.
Yeah.
I could have went for Fellaini or Michu in the middle instead of Gerrard.
Yeah,
I just took Gerrard because Fellaini did trail off a lot towards the end of the season. Even during the mid.
Surprised I didn't pick Gerrard, and I don't know what went wrong there.
I just think I went for him. I just said if it is the aspect of a team.
Yeah,
it's a bit more balanced.
Again, I know it's stupid to rehash this, but it comes again, you know, quality over sensationalism. He didn't do any, you know, 40-yard volleys, but he did the standard, what you would hope a midfielder would do.
Forward lineup, then.
Is there any point in this all?
Yeah,
Van Persie, Suarez.
Van
Persie, Benteke.
Okay.
Suarez misses too many chances, in my opinion. And if you're talking about your best team, you put a player like that, it's going to get goals. Big in the air, strong.
You think Benteke is a better overall striker than Suarez, though?
Well, no, that's not the point.
Did
he have a better season?
No, I'm not. I'm just asking the question, like, as a stat.
You could make the argument that, yeah, because he's more clinical for the goal. He's better in the air. He's stronger.
I think
he doesn't go down as easily, and he doesn't get sent off nearly as much. And I know you can say it, but Suarez has been sent off a couple of times in his career already, yeah.
I would disagree. I think Van Persie and Suarez Real Madrid are coming knocking on the door for a very high budget for Suarez. I don't think
Benteke was the most important player to our team this season.
No, I agree. I don't think Suarez is the most important player
in my
team.
I mean, there is the argument that Benteke was the most important player for a team that finished 15.
But he also scored nearly half their goals.
Yeah.
He did, yeah. But that just means he scored less than Suarez.
Yeah, Suarez was
Means that the team around him was worse than the team that Suarez had.
And Suarez was top goal scorer up to the point where...
He's played less games than Suarez, I'd take a guess and say he did. Maybe not.
I don't know, Suarez was
But Benteke was
for
missing
loads.
For a while, and they were pretty crap around that time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's worth saying, like, Suarez was close to being the top goal scorer this season until he got...
But that's his team of the year.
No, I know, but until he got suspended at the end, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd have Benteke up there. I just think he's more reliable. If it is your team of the year, it might be their best player, but you also have to think about the reliability of it, and I just think about the function of the team.
Well,
the slapdash 11 players, and that's why I went for Gerrard instead of Michu or Fellaini in the middle. But
I think there's a lot of things that Suarez did this season that Benteke could not do.
Certainly.
Possibly.
Certainly. No, he could bite someone. Definitely.
Not sure, really.
I just mean, I don't know. Look at his goal against Newcastle. That was unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, but, you know, if that ball comes in and Benteke takes a touch, you know, beats a man and slots into the bottom corner, or takes a touch and does something else with the ball, you can argue it's the same thing as long as the end result is a goal. In fairness, Suarez did score more goals, but, you know, this is, I went from, you know, a bit different than Suarez up front. He does bite people.
That concludes our awards.
Well done, lads.
Yeah, I'm tired after that now. It's a good season of podcasting.
Concludes the season of, we missed a couple around Christmas. Concludes the season of podcasting. It's sad to think that it's going to be another 2 weeks to record another one.
Yeah, as we said, we should be doing a Confederations Cup one strictly.
Around the 15th of June. Should we be back?
Yeah.
We're probably back, because that's when it starts. We'll be back.
Again, eyes on the Facebook and Twitter for updates on stuff like that.
12onepodcast@hotmail.com. Yeah. An email at 12onepodcast.
To get involved, to see videos of Dante singing, Johnny Evans falling.
It's worth it just for Dante. That's incredible.
It's brilliant.
Incredible video.
You have to check that out.
I'm yet to see this
Johnny Evans falling. Well, you both are. It's a personal friend of mine, mate of Johnny Evans. But we'll get on that. But please do check out the page for a couple of great videos like that, and keep listening for some. If you like football and you don't watch the Confederations Cup but would like updates on it, this is the place for you.
All that's left to say, lads, is for the last time this season, thank you, Declan Marrant.
Thank you very much, Shane Keenan, and happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. And thank you, Rory Dobbs.
Thank you. I don't have anything to say.
And thank you to all the listeners out there. You've been great to us all season. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
I'm coming for you.
Oh,
Bandy Townsend. Returns.
That sounds like a song.
Bandy Townsend. So welcome to the 12-man podcast.
That's the new intro. Just singing parody songs with commentators' names in it. Bandy Gray. Bandy Gray.
Shala,
life goes on. Don't sit like that. I can see your wiener.
Jim Beglin. Shorts.
And my arms are long.
Morph into.
I don't think you're.
My Derek. God, my arms are long.
They're longer than your shorts, anyway.
I don't. Oh.
Big face.
Yeah. I hit your sunburn, I'm sorry.
Keep it up for the second half. It's kind of the same thing.
Or it's going well.
Drink a beer.